Okay, thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's Sunday, March 20th, 2022, just after 10:30. This is a meeting of the KPFK local station board. This is Michael Novick, the chair, and our secretary, Ralph Hawkins, will call the roll.
Okay, calling the roll. Grace Aaron.
Here.
Christina Avalos.
Here.
Christina is here. Alan Beek
is here.
Alan is present. Jose Benavides. Okay. Fred Blair.
Here. Present.
Fred is present. Sandy Childs.
Here.
Thank you, Sandy. Marisol Cruz.
Presente.
Presente. Bella DeSoto.
Present.
Bella is present. Eric Jacobson.
Here.
Eric is here. Avilia Jones. I think she asked for an excused absence, Michael.
I didn't get.
Ali Lexa. Rob Macon, Barbara Marbach.
She asked for excused absence, I believe.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Michael Novick.
Present.
Oye Yippo.
Present.
Oye is here. Myla Reason.
Myla Reason is present.
Thank you, Myla. Lawrence Reyes.
Presente.
Lawrence is present. Ziri Rideau.
Present.
Ziri is here. Thank you. Paul Roberson.
Present.
Thank you, Paul. Oscar Ulloa. Oscar Ulloa. Helena Vasiliev. Helena, I know you're here. Unmute.
We still can't hear you, Helena. There's something wrong with your sound.
Come back to her. Beth Von Guten?
Present.
Beth is present. Harvey Wasserman? Carlos Zavala?
Present.
Carlos is here. Polina?
I'm here.
Thank you, Polina. We have 17 members present.
Okay, thank you. That is a quorum, and we'll proceed.
Chair?
Oh, Ali Lexa is here. You missed the roll. Can you note Ali's presence, Ralph?
Okay, got you, Ali. That makes 18.
Thank you. I had asked people from American Indian Airways to do the land back because they communicated with me about it, but I don't know if anybody's on from there. We do acknowledge every time that we're on unceded land of Tongva, Chumash, and other indigenous people. And we also try to take to heart the ethos of not of privatization, but that we belong to the land and that we treat all our relations with respect and dignity. And in relation to that, we do have John Tatum on the call with us. Thank you, Mr. Tatum. He's the PNB parliamentarian, and we're going to try to have a well-run, orderly meeting. One of the things that requires that people be patient with each other. And if you want the floor, you need to ask for it from the chair and wait to be recognized before you speak further. And don't call out while someone else is speaking to do that. You have a hand raise function if possible is the best way on Zoom or on your phone. I think you can use *9 to do that. And I see Myla has a hand up. What is it, Myla?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Two things. One is that Harvey Wasserman contacted me and said he didn't have the link for the Zoom, so I sent it to him. So he should be here soon. And the other thing is that I would like to put a notice to the board to rescind or amend something previously adopted.
Chair, point of order.
Membership
this is
policy
Lawrence.
On okay. Local station board committee.
Point of order, Chair. This is Lawrence.
Okay, I'm sorry. What's your point of order?
My point of order is that Ms. Reason is not in order because that's not the order of the business that we are attending to right now. She could move that, I believe, when we approve the agenda and you ask if there's any amendments okay. to the agenda.
Okay. All right. Thanks. So if you could hold up, I did say that, Milo, when you asked about when to do it before the meeting started, I said wait for the agenda discussion. I think Mr. Tatum wants to say a couple of things about the orderly business. Go ahead, Mr. Tatum.
Yes. The first one you've already reminded them about, and that is to when you want to be recognized, you must say, Mr. Chair, may I be recognized? And then you pause there and wait. That was one. The other is that dead silence is a very important part of a meeting, and sometimes you have to wait for silence. And so that would be one of the times. And if someone is speaking, you don't want to interrupt. You want to wait for silence. So I want everybody to be aware of how important silence is between speakers. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm finished.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And thanks for joining us today. I would like to get some timekeepers appointed to keep track of the time on speakers and on agenda items. Do I have some volunteers for that?
Chair, I will keep time of for items.
Okay, thank you.
Just as long as you notice the time allotted to them. Chair.
Yeah, they're in the agenda. If you look at the agenda, it's up on KPFDX. And is there someone who will keep time on speakers, generally speaking?
Chair, I'd like to request that you, when you move to the next item, if you could just give me the time.
Sure.
Because I can look at both. Yeah.
Okay, fine. We'll do that. Can someone keep time on speakers, 90 seconds each? No. Eric, would you be willing to do that?
The problem, Michael, one second. Can you hear me? The problem
yes.
is that I'm using my iPhone, which has my
okay. All right. Okay.
So, beyond camera.
Sure. Someone else? All right, well, we'll try to do it. I'll see what I can do, keeping track myself. So we do have the proposed agenda. Is someone can someone move the agenda?
So move, Mr. Chair, Bella DeSoto.
Okay, thank you, Bella. Are there any amendments to the agenda? Can I raise your hand back up?
Yes, Mr. Chair, yeah. May I be recognized?
Yes, go ahead.
Is this the appropriate time to say... I am hereby noticing a motion to rescind or amend something previously adopted for the membership policy on LSB committees passed by KPFK LSB on May 16th, 2021. And I'm going to send a copy of that, of the minutes from that meeting to the secretary and to the board now.
Okay, thanks. That policy was, I think, slightly revised in October, but it's still in effect, except for the two minor changes that were made in October. So,
okay.
But thank you.
Chair, this is Lawrence for the point of order. May I be recognized?
Yes, what's your point of order?
Ms. Reason's motion needs a second.
It's not a motion. She's not moving anything. She's just noticing that she's going to introduce the motion to rescind later on. Thank you. Beth, you have a hand up? Beth Van Gunten, you have to unmute yourself.
Hello?
Yes, we hear you now.
Thank you. One moment, I have to turn back to the page. I move to amend the agenda to add an item for today's agenda to allow time for Pacifica General Counsel Arthur Swartz to address the LSB as soon as he's available today. We would need to allow some flexibility in the timing as he's on his way to the airport in San Francisco to board a flight back to New York at 12:45.
Chair, this is Lawrence. May I be recognized?
Okay. Yeah, hang on a second. Were you finished, Beth?
Yeah, thank you for the moment.
So, okay, so that's a motion to add that to the agenda at a time uncertain because of his travel. Lawrence, okay. Go ahead. And I see a hand up from 614 area code.
That's Harvey Wasserman.
Okay, thanks, Harvey.
Okay, so there's a dilatory matter that's in front of...
I'm sorry.
There's a dilatory matter that's in front of the chair, and I don't know when they're going to move to try to have that posted on the agenda. At this point, I think that should be contingent on having Pacifica Council on the agenda.
Okay, nothing's on the agenda yet in relation to that, so we'll leave that aside. Bella, you had a hand up, and Harvey?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. May I be recognized?
Yes, go ahead, Bella.
Thank you. I have all business, two items that were submitted to the Governance Committee. We could not finish the agenda, as you recall, and the second portion of one motion is pending, and the other motion is pending. The second part of the Spanish language programming and motion, and the other one is to reaffirm a line item of the P&L for LSB miscellaneous expenditures.
Okay, Bella, the Spanish language motion is on the agenda from the Governance Committee, and so you can take up any amendments you want to make to that. Then when we get to it, the other motion can be under new business at this point. Right. Harvey, you have your hand up.
I welcome Attorney Schwartz to the meeting. Does that require a second? I give it. And I did send in a motion, which I'd like on the agenda.
Okay, is that the motion that you sent out last night or a different one? Yeah, the motion you sent... the motion you sent out last night, which was dealing with a challenge or trying to get the tally of the votes and information about the proceedings and the current litigation.
It asked for the report on the cost of litigation, the vote count in the board meeting. One other thing.
Yeah, so I'm going to rule that motion is not an order for the local station board. The part of it is dilatory. I guess we've dealt with it twice already related to the voting and the NES report. And the other part, I think, is a proprietary and not under the purview of the local station board. So my ruling is that is not pertinent to today's agenda.
I hope everyone will... I support the presence of the council on the agenda.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, Myla,
yes.
Recognize?
Go ahead, Myla.
Yeah, I object to the ruling of the chair. Is there a second?
Second.
Who is that?
Me, Harvey.
Oh, okay. Okay, we'll have a short debate on this question. I'll explain that the motion, which I think everybody did receive on the local station board and was briefly summarized by Mr. Wasserman, we dealt with part of that material twice already before, which is the question of the LSB elections and the disqualification of certain candidates in the tally. And there is a full report from the NES, therefore it's dilatory. The rest of the motion is dealing with proprietary business information and ongoing litigation that should not be dealt with in an open session in any case and is not relevant to the local station board. So that's the reason for my ruling. Does someone want to speak in favor?
I'd like to speak briefly. There has been a report from the Pacifica in Exile stating that the legal expenses are in fighting against New Day Pacifica are $400,000. and it's a staggering amount of money, and it overshadows everything that that we try to do with the network.
Chair, I have a point of order, Chair. This is fine.
What's your point of order, Mr. Reyes?
This what Harvey's advocating for is not in order right now. What's in
no,
order?
No, I'm sorry. We're discussing
of the ruling of the chair.
Yes, he's speaking in favor of overruling the chair. That's his point. Let him finish, and then we'll wrap it up.
I have my hand up. Thank you. To speak against.
Well, let me finish, please. We've never gotten a full report of the vote in the KPFK election board election, local station board election. There's never been a full tally. There's no reason why we can't find out who was voted for in the last election. That's the essence of democracy, and we're still waiting. The request for the expenditures for the New Day Pacifica litigation also cuts to the core of our fundraising capabilities and our financial crisis. I can't imagine why.
Okay, thank you. That's time. Thank you. Mr. Reyes, you want to speak in favor of upholding the chair?
Yes, I'm speaking in favor of upholding the chair. This is dilatory. The matters that are being requested are proprietary information that the local station board has no standing to request. And this is a matter that's in litigation as well. So that makes it proprietary. And I believe that your ruling, Chair, and the way you stated it is in order, and I support the ruling of the chair. And I wish that my colleagues also support the ruling of the chair, because this is a dilatory matter that's come up every month, and so that's why I support the ruling of the chair. Thank you.
Point of information. May I be recognized, Mr. Chair? Point of information.
What's your question, Myla?
It's my understanding that Mr. Tatum has told us that when the ruling of the chair is challenged, that the chair speaks first, then there is a person to advocate against the ruling of the chair, and then the chair speaks again, and that there's no other discussion that is in order. So I believe that the last point of discussion from another board member was out of order, and that we should go directly to you making your final point, and then a vote on whether or not to uphold the ruling of the chair.
Chair, I'd like to
Mr. Reyes.
Point of order, Chair.
What's your point of order?
Did you answer my question first, please?
The point of order is it takes precedent, Myla, over your request for information. And I would defer to the chair to ask Mr. Tatum if the rendition that Myla just stated. I know on the national board, when the chair is challenged, the chair does speak first and does speak last, but there's other members that could also weigh in on it.
Thank you. I'll ask him. Mr. Tatum, can you clarify when there is an appeal for the ruling of the chair? Is there only one speaker, or is there some discussion and then a final comment by the chair?
The way that Mr. Reyes stated it, the chair is first and last, and others can be in between, and there's no specific number that can speak in between the chair.
Okay, thank you. So that's the answer to your question, Myla.
Mr. Chair?
I'm sorry, hang on a second, please. Harvey, you had a question?
A brief point of information. The third part of the motion is requesting that any future legal expenditures on this case be approved by the PNB. So it's raising the question
right,
of 400,000 expenditures, getting a tally of the LSB vote, and requesting.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's not the point of information, Mr. Wasserman. Mr. Wasserman, you're debating the motion.
No. I was just saying it out.
You stated the third point. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Bella DeSoto, may I be recognized? I've had my hand up.
Yes, I understand that, but we're going, if we're going to have any more comment, it's going to be pro and con again. Is there someone else who wants to speak in favor of overruling the chair? Gavalia, is your hand up for that purpose? Or are you just indicating your presence? You're muted, Gavalia. Still muted. Is there anyone else who wants to speak in favor of overruling the chair?
I'm not muted, am I?
Yeah, you were before. Go ahead. Did you want to, I asked, is your hand up just to indicate your presence?
No,
or
sir. No, sir. I did that a while back. However.
Okay.
You know, I feel as a member who doesn't know everything that the chair is always the top of the line in meetings. However, there's a lot of information that's not clear to all of us about why you make these decisions that tend to always seem to favor a certain position, a certain side. It feels that way to me after a year or so of listening. So I wish that you wouldn't call it dilatory, anybody, because yes, the information that you are saying isn't important right now, or we don't need to know right now, is very important to almost everything we do. We need to know what happened to several people who worked hard to be a member of this board and have been thrown to the side for various legal reasons, but it's not clear to us if those legal reasons were legal enough to put them off. And we seem to be in disagreement about that. So it's never dilatory.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
So, Bella, and then we're going to wrap this up, I think. Please.
Mr. Chair, I would, the lineup, anybody can speak for or against, but they're not, there should not
just
be.
Just go ahead and speak, please, Bella. Please speak your piece.
Yes, I am calling this item dilatory and that we should get back to our agenda. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
The vote.
Yes, I would like to wrap this up and vote on it.
This is Eric. I've had my hand up, Michael. Did I not?
You did. Go ahead.
I just want to point out, Avelia is on the national board. Harvey is a member of New Day. And he could have easily had Avelia bring this to the national board's attention, which is the proper level of government for what Harvey is talking about happening. And he deliberately chose to bring it here instead, which is above our pay grade as an LSC. We're a subcommittee of the CMB. So this is misdirected. I also want to quickly point out that Harvey's organization, New Day, by making outlandish claims to having won an election that they lost, a referendum, precipitated the litigation that he's now complaining is costing a lot of money, part of which was dismissed by the court. So this has a very bad odor to it, in my humble opinion. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So just to wrap up, since the chair speaks last, we are voting on whether or not to uphold my ruling that the motion that Harvey wants to add to the agenda is dilatory and deals with confidential matters in litigation. And the reason, as I said, is that we've already dealt with the question of the LSB elections repeatedly, and there's a full report on the was posted, and that the rest of it is not matters for this board to consider. So Ralph is going to call the rolls. A yes vote upholds the chair, and a no vote overrules the chair, is my understanding. Is that correct, Mr. Tatum?
Mr. Chair, may I be recognized?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry. Not at this time, Milo, because we're calling the roll. I see in the chat that Oscar Yo says he's present. Can you speak, Oscar, because you're muted on my screen. You have, he said he has a bad signal, but
Mr. Chair, I was not allowed. May I be recognized?
Yeah. can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you, Oscar. Thank you.
Presente.
We hear you. Thank you. So please note Oscar's presence, Ralph, and please call the roll.
Mr. Chair, I tried to weigh in on this prior to you calling for the roll call. May I be recognized to speak to the ruling of the chair?
Not at this time. Not at this time, please. Ralph, call the roll.
Okay, calling the roll on the appeal of the chair. Grace Aaron?
Yes.
Christina Avalos?
Opposed.
Christina votes no. Alan Beek?
Alan, we're voting on upholding the ruling of the chair. Yes vote. Okay.
Okay, Alan votes yes. Fred Blair?
Yes.
Sandy Childs?
No.
Sandy votes no. Marisol Cruz?
Yeah.
Marisol votes yes. Bella DeSoto?
Yes.
Bella votes yes. Eric Jacobson?
Yes.
Eric is a yes. Avelia Jones?
No.
Avelia votes no. Allie Lexa?
No.
Allie votes no. Michael Novick?
Yes.
Michael votes yes. Oye, Oye Yippo?
Yes.
Oye votes yes. Myla Reason?
I'm opposed to the ruling of the chair.
Myla votes no. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Thank you, Lawrence. Ziri Rideau?
Yes.
Ziri votes yes. Paul Roberson?
No.
Paul votes no. Oscar Ulloa?
Yes.
Oscar votes yes. Polina Vasiliev?
Yes.
Polina votes yes. Beth Von Guten?
Yes.
Beth votes yes. Harvey Wasserman?
No.
Harvey is a no. Carlos Zavala?
No.
Okay, one moment.
And Chair, for the items, please don't forget to give me the times.
Yeah.
Okay, I have the tally is 13 yes to uphold the chair, 8 no, and no abstentions.
Okay, the chair is upheld. There was a motion to amend the agenda to allow the counsel, Arthur Schwartz, to speak if he's available. Chair, is there any objection? Ali?
Yes, I'd like to just point out to Mr. Hawkins, thank you for your work, that the normal way we take an election is you go through the entire roster, excluding the chair, and then at the end, you ask the chair if they choose to vote. That's the procedure we've been using for years.
Okay, point taken.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ali. That is correct.
Chair, may I be recognized on your previous point?
Yes.
I think at this point, it's the matter of having Pacifica Council attend the this LSV meeting is not necessary at this time because your ruling was a
failure. Okay, point well taken. You want him to refer to this if it came on the agenda and it's not on the agenda. So is there any further amendment to the agenda?
This is Grace. May I be recognized?
Yes, go ahead, Grace. And I'm sorry, please mute if you're not speaking because there's distracting noises coming across people's lines. Thank you. Go ahead, Grace. Sorry.
I would very much like to hear Arthur's a report from Arthur on all our legal cases. So I would very much like that to be on the agenda. I would second that. I mean, I think it was seconded and yeah. I think it should be voted on.
Okay. Beth, your hand is up as in relation to this point.
Yes. Just that my motion to amend stands.
Okay.
Depending on Arthur's availability, but I think it would help clarify a lot.
Okay, fine. So is there any objection to leaving that on the agenda if and when he becomes available to hear from him?
Yeah, Chair, I just want to augment. I'm not opposed to what Greg.
Okay, thank you.
Real quick. I believe that any report from legal counsel should be held in executive session, and that those people who have signed NDAs and the electronic policy that we have be privy to the executive session. If they have not signed those documents, I don't feel comfortable informing them of some of the litigation that Pacifica has gone through. And I'd like to hear what Grace thinks about that.
Mr. Chair, may I be recognized with a point of information?
Yes, but please, we're spending an inordinate amount of time on this. We have to approve the agenda and move on to our actual business. Please.
We approved the agenda already, Mr. Chair.
We did not. We moved the agenda. We're considering an amendment to the agenda to add the attorney if he's available. Please don't interrupt, Bella.
Okay. There may be public information that can be shared publicly and with the LSC in open session. And probably most of the information that Arthur would care to impart would be public information. So I don't think that it might not be necessary to go into closed session. If that's the case, I assume that might be the case. So it might not be necessary.
Okay, thank you.
To speak only.
All right. So at this point, the motion is to add to the open session an appearance by the attorney counsel for Pacifica if he's available. Beth, your hand is up.
Yes, thank you. I think no one is more qualified than Arthur to determine what is proprietary information and must be kept confidential and as distinct from what is clearly open public on the public record. And I would, first I would take Arthur on this.
Oh, can you just give me my blue hat?
My intention.
Michael, hi.
My intention was to place this on the open agenda so that the public.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Beth. I'm sorry. Is there any objection to placing, if he's available, counsel for Pacifica, Arthur Schwartz, on the agenda if and when it becomes available for a public session presentation about the litigation?
Chair,
hearing no objection. Objection. That's added to the agenda. Is there any objection to the agenda as amended? Hearing no objection, the agenda is approved. Next item on the agenda is the Pacifica mission statement. Someone like to read that rapidly? We're gonna move off. Everybody has heard the mission statement many, many times, and if we can't live with it, then we shouldn't be on this body. Excuse the absence request. The only one I heard from was Barbara Marbach. Is there a motion to excuse her absence?
Move.
Marisol, thank you. Any objection? Okay, hearing none, Barbara's absence is excused. An appeal for funds for KPFK, obviously very, very urgent. Paul, would you like to do that? Paul Roberson? Maybe he's not available. Well, I'll just speak then. You know, obviously KPFK is in urgent need of funds. We just completed a fund drive, but we basically need to be in the kind of a permanent mode of trying to build up our membership, and I would urge all the members of the board to consider reaching out to all their contacts to find more people who will become sustainers. I think it would behoove us if management and the board set a goal of obtaining a large additional number of members off air by appealing to people who are members of like-minded organizations in this area. And I think that we need this station more than ever in these times of war and repression and fascism on the horizon. So please take that to heart. We need to set the next meeting because We set the meeting as the third Sunday, and April 17th is Easter Sunday. April 10th is Palm Sunday. I don't think it's appropriate. Marisol, did you have a motion?
Yes, I would like to suggest that we move the instead of the third, make it the fourth after the religious activities have ceased. So I would be able to attend, or else I would have to be absent for that day.
Yes, I believe that's also Passover. So that would be the 24th,
that's
I think,
24th.
Instead of the 17th. And as far as the...
May I be recognized as...
Yeah, hang on a second, Marisol, about the time.
Yes, also, if we could start the meetings at 10 a.m., 30 minutes rather than 10:30, so I could have more time, given that I'm Sundays by noon, I need to excuse myself to attend to my religious responsibilities.
Okay, thank you. Is there a second for Marisol's motion to move the April meeting to the 24th and to begin the meetings at 10 a.m.?
Second.
Okay, thank you. So Harvey, you can take no either. Paul and Myla, that's a second. Lawrence, did you want to speak about something?
No, Jay. I was
okay, thank you.
Seeking recognition in a second.
Okay, thank you. All right, any objection to that motion? Hearing none, the next meeting is set for April 24th, and the meetings henceforward would start at 10 a.m. rather than 10:30. As a motion to approve the minutes, approving the minutes is the next order of business.
Mr. Chair, this is Bella. I have been muted for a while, and I object. That is the day for the outreach committee meeting, the last Sunday of the month. We meet at 11:30 a.m. I could move it up, but that would not be proper.
Okay, well, so I'm sorry that you were muted, but I think the body did... I think it's easier to move one local committee meeting than to try to adjust the board meeting. So I would ask you to try to reschedule that.
Okay. For April.
Yeah, either later in the day or earlier in the month, whatever works for the committee. Thank you. All right. So is there a motion to approve the minutes that were circulated? By the secretary.
I motion.
Thank you. Okay, moved by Christine and seconded by Marisol. Any objection to approving the minutes?
Mr. Chair, may I be recognized?
Yes, go ahead, Myla.
I would like to abstain from adoption of the minutes at this time. I haven't had a chance to review to see whether the wording that the rewording that I suggested has been incorporated into the minutes.
Okay, thanks. So can you note Myla's abstention, Ralph? And the minutes can always be corrected at a later time, and they sometimes have been. So the last item in this opening business is a set of time certain for adjournment. It's now 11:12 a.m. That means we've taken 42 minutes, to what should have taken 15. But we're going to... If we have a three-hour meeting, that would be 1:30, 2 p.m. It's 2 p.m. time certain. Okay with people?
I object to 2:30.
You want to go to 2:30? Is there any objection to 2:30?
No. I want to go to 1:30.
Mr. Chair, Bella DeSoto, may I be recognized?
Yes, Bella.
In the past, in recent time, you instituted a rule that we would not have a time certain so that we could complete our agenda.
I appreciate that, but we've had some meetings that have gone on so long that we lose people. So right now what's on the floor is a time certain of 1:30. Any objections to that? Anybody want to?
It wasn't second. The 1:30 time was the second.
Second. There's been two people that have seconded.
Yeah. Okay.
I second. So,
all right. Are there objections to a 1:30 time certain?
Mr. Chair, I object.
Okay, no, thank you. Did you want to propose a different time, or you just don't want to have a time certain?
I would propose 2:30, Mr. Chair. We have a very lengthy agenda. We have unfinished
business. Okay, all right, thank you. Is there a second for that? I don't hear one, so 1:30 is what's on the floor at the moment.
Eric, Michael, may I be recognized?
Yes, Eric, go ahead.
I propose 2 o'clock.
Thank you. Second, Chair. That's an amendment.
Okay. All right. So it's a substitute motion, we'll say, of 2 o'clock, made by Eric Jacobson, seconded by Lawrence Reyes. Are there objections to 2 o'clock?
Object.
Okay. Ali Lex objected. I think we're just going to vote on it. I don't want to have a long debate about how much time to spend. Can you call the roll, Ralph, on 2 o'clock time certain? Ralph Hawkins.
Okay, calling the roll for changing the time certain to 2 o'clock. Grace Aaron.
Pass.
Christina Avalos.
Yes.
Christina votes yes. Alan Beek
votes yes.
Alan votes yes. Fred Blair.
I pass.
Fred passes. Sandy Childs?
Yes.
Sandy votes yes. Marisol Cruz?
Yes.
Marisol votes yes. Bella DeSoto?
Yes.
Bella is a yes. Eric Jacobson?
Yes.
Thank you, Eric. Avelia Jones?
Yes.
Avelia votes yes. Ali Lexa?
No.
Ali votes no. Michael Novick?
Yeah, come back to me.
Oh, right. No. Okay. Got it. Oye Yippo?
No.
Oye votes no. Myla Reason?
Emphatically no.
Okay. That's a no. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Lawrence votes yes. Siri Rideau?
Yes.
Thank you, Ziri votes yes. Paul Roberson?
Yes.
Paul votes yes. Oscar Ulloa?
You muted, Oscar. Come back to him.
Okay. Polina Vasiliev?
Yes.
Polina votes yes. Beth Von Guten?
Yes.
Beth votes yes. Harvey Wasserman? Harvey Wasserman?
Come back to him.
Carlos Zavala?
Yes.
Okay. Circling back, Grace Aaron?
Yes.
Fred Blair?
Yes.
Fred votes yes. Oscar Ulloa?
May I change my vote?
Go ahead, Avelia.
I'm sorry. May I change my vote, please, to no?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry, to no.
Okay, Avelia Jones is a no.
Christine has a hand up, too.
Yeah, I have to leave at 1:30. Can I change it?
Do you want to change your vote to a no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Christina Avalos is a no. Oscar Ulloa? Oscar, are you missing in action? Okay, Harvey Wasserman?
No.
Okay, Harvey votes no. Michael Novick?
Chair votes yes.
One more time, Oscar Ulloa?
I couldn't mute my phone, it got stuck, I'm sorry.
Okay, I got you. Oscar votes yes. One moment for the tally.
Rob Macon is on the call. Yeah, Rob, this is a vote on time certain at 2 o'clock? Okay, that was a yes. Thank you.
Rob Macon votes yes. Okay, one moment. The tally is 16 yes, 6 no, and 0 abstentions.
Okay, thank you. So moving on, we have a report from the Executive Director, Stephanie Wells, who's with us this morning, and from our Acting General Manager, Stuart Landau, also with us. Stephanie, would you like to speak?
Michael, can you please give me a time frame?
Yes, we have 25 minutes for this, including a discussion.
Thank you.
And that will be followed by 10 minutes of public comment.
Mr. Chair, Bella DeSoto, may I be recognized?
For what purpose, Bella?
Should there not be Q&A from the board before we go into public comment?
Yes, there's 25 minutes for the report and discussion by the board.
Thank you.
Thanks. Stephanie, are you still with us?
Yes, I am. Good morning, everybody. I will make this quick and give more time for Stuart if he needs it. Just kind of informing what I've been focusing on mostly the past week or so is just really working on any sort of potential for CPB funding. So I have upcoming this week a meeting with the CEO of the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, Ms. Sally Kane, to just talk about some of the specifics regarding that grant. And then also had some conversations with Brittany Lee, who's the project coordinator, grants administrator at CPB. And we were really just trying to get information from her regarding eligibility and when compliance needs to be. You know, some people have said, do we apply for the grant and then get in compliance? But she basically said that the application has not even been approved internally from the CPB, therefore it has not been released to the public. It will probably be released sometime in mid-April with a due date of late May, but she said that all stations must demonstrate compliance with all criteria at the time of the application. So we're, again, I'll be just discussing things further with Sally and with Brittany and creating a spreadsheet of what needs to be, what we need to do, what we have done, and break that down per station. Pretty much all I have to report.
I did want to ask you, because we spoke briefly about the question of the general manager, because that is on our agenda. The GM resigned. You appointed Stuart as an acting or interim general manager, and the question came up about whether you want to go back to the existing pool or we can go ahead and do a new search.
I discussed that with you, actually with Lawrence as well, just on the phone casually. He just gave me a call. I know that this is on the agenda, so we can discuss it further at that point. We do have an existing pool of people that had applied that have already gone through the process, but there are some names that have been given to me of people that would be possibly qualified for the position of GM, and they weren't part of the original search committee. So that does open up a question of, you know, do we pull just from the few people that are remaining from that original search, or do we add these other individuals that have been recommended? So then at that point, we would need a search committee. But again, we can discuss this if it comes to that part of the agenda. I just don't want something to take an exorbitant amount of time or money to move forward. So.
Thank you. Let's hear from Stuart as well before we take the comments. I see the board hands up, but Stuart is the acting general manager. Go ahead, Stuart.
She's on this local station board meeting right now. I'm going to ask her about your letter.
I'm sorry, Stuart. Landau, are you still with us?
I'm here. I heard some background.
Milo was talking to somebody else. I muted her. Thank you. Go ahead.
Well, thank you very much. My name is Stuart Landau. I've been with the station for 5 years as chief engineer
long background in broadcasting. I've met a number of you and spoken to many of you on the phone throughout this past period of difficulty. And I've hit the ground running. There's no time to be wasted with what's going on. We sort of met goal on the last fund drive, but it's not sustainable. And we need immediately to get going with some other alternative ways of legally and ethically raising funds. I hope I'm in this position long enough to truly make a difference. I don't feel that I'm a custodian and just we can just let things go as they have been. Our product is programming, and we've been without a program director for 15 months. This is ridiculous. We're in a difficult position with a minimal staff. Thank goodness we have Detta, both as CFO and HR. They've done a terrific job and continue to do so. Without them, we'd really be in trouble. We need ideas. We need volunteers who will actually do something immediately. And we are looking at, of course, ways of between fund drives and without going on the air to raise funds. And there are some very good possibilities being worked on right now. And I'd be happy to answer questions either on the phone at future time or at send me an email at slandau@kpfk.com. And I'd be happy to either correspond with you or speak with you on the phone. Thank you.
Thank you, Stuart, and I appreciate your being here on pretty short notice given and taking the position. So we'll be taking some comments and questions from members of the board first. I see Ali Lexa, and then Myla and Lawrence. Ali?
Yeah, I have two question comments for Stephanie, the ED. Regarding the CPB funding, you said that all stations must have, at the time of application, all stations must display compliance. Do we have an assessment of where we are with each station?
I'm trying to get that information from the stations and the GMs now. So I don't know where everyone stands. What really is the issue with some of the stations is the cabs. And so some of them have had active cabs and meetings, but they haven't taken minutes or we haven't seen the minutes. Therefore, if those minutes don't exist, the committee doesn't exist. So we're trying to figure out if there are recordings, if there are minutes, they just haven't been posted. So that's, yeah. So I don't know right off the top of my head who all is in compliance and who isn't, but we're just trying to, we'll go through that list with each GM and try to figure that out.
I see. Okay. Thank you. And then, mm-hmm. And this might be discussed later, but regarding the GM search, you mentioned that there have been people presented outside of the pool. And I might just add that if you hire the next GM as an interim GM, that you can hire people outside of an existing pool while the LSB is performing their GM search. That's all.
You are correct. Yes. Thank you.
Thanks, Myla, then Lawrence, and Bella. Myla.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you so much, Stephanie, for being with us today and for your leadership. I had occasion within the last couple of days to visit with the widow of Will Ryan, who did run for the board, but the votes for his candidacy were not presented in the final tally. It's my understanding where Nancy Naparko, Will's widow, wrote to you shortly after you began your leadership as executive director of Pacifica. And she told me that she had spent many hours on that letter and that she has not yet heard back from you. And I understand that you're very busy and you're working on a lot of different things. but I just wanted to remind you that that, you know, that she did send that letter to you, and she's anxiously waiting acknowledgement of that letter. Thank you.
Thanks, Lawrence.
Can Stephanie respond to that?
Yeah, okay.
Yes, I do. At the time that I received the letter, I was still very unclear as to anything that was involving with the elections. I did acknowledge that I did receive it, but I have not replied to, I have not created a response to the actual letter itself. So I can take a closer look at that and respond to her, but I did acknowledge that I did receive it.
Thank you, Lawrence.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Stephanie. And thank you for taking my call. My casual call that lasted almost an hour. If that's going to be a casual call, I like casual calls like that. So in regards to the CPB concern, KPFK is about to launch in April. We were doing extensive interviews for prospective CAB members. So I know my colleague mentioned that there was one compliance issue, but the question of audits and the question of financial condition, is that also going to be considered when applying, or if we do apply? And then the concern I brought up with you in regards to national programming initiatives, such as the missing murder Indigenous women and the Indigenous Environmental Network that was approved by the PNB. Have you made any headway on that? Because I did get a call from Lydia Ponce, who's been the driving force behind this in regards to that. And then the other issue, and I do agree with Ms. Alexa, that if you're going to put more swimmers in the pool, then I think we're going to have to initiate a committee of lifeguards, if you will, right? So can you address that before you go to the next question, please?
As far as compliance, there's still a lot of, the list is growing extensively as to what each station needs to do and what they're looking at. And some of the information that is found on the sort of guidelines from CPB are not 100% clear. They're just kind of vague sometimes in what they're looking for. So I'm hoping that my conversations this upcoming week with individuals that are very familiar on the inside from that grant will then allow me to kind of get a better idea as to what we have done, what we haven't done, what we need to do, that kind of thing.
And in regards to the national programming initiatives, I'm sorry, Chair.
Well, again, this is all as far as the compliance issues, I'm still just creating this big spreadsheet, and we'll see where that falls into line.
That was a separate question. It was about a mandate from the Pacifica National Board for National Programming on, I believe, missing and murdered Indigenous women.
I know that we talked about it, Lawrence, okay. But I don't have, I don't know. I'll have to look at that further.
Thank you, Stephanie. That's good enough, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Bella, then Eric, then myself.
Yes. Greetings, Stephanie and Stuart. Thank you so much for making the time to meet with us. I sent you both a lengthy communique a few days ago, and I was wondering if you had any opportunity to read it along with a sample program grid that I created. Took quite a while, harking back to the days, glory days of KPFK, showing a very different picture of what the programming looked like. And I brought in a number of programs that we already have, but they're stuck in obscured time slots. And I brought them into the sunlight across the week, afternoon and evening. And I was wondering, in other comments, and I was wondering if you had an opportunity to read that communique.
I did take a look at it, and I did read through your email as well. I haven't sat down and talked about it in person with Stuart yet. So anything that would be involving programming and the lineup, I would defer to Stuart and other employees at KPFK that are working diligently on creating a good lineup.
Good. Stephanie, are you looking into the issue of sending out a national announcement of your hire as the new Pacifica ED? We have not received that, the membership.
I was under the assumption that something had already been sent out because I saw a couple of press releases about it. So
I think there was something posted to the website. Yes, I'm not sure it was sent. There is a capacity to do a direct mail to all the members. I don't think that's been done, but you might want to consider, meeting everyone and introducing yourself and talking about, some of the issues. Eric?
Thank you, Michael. Stephanie, I want to welcome you to your very challenging post. One thing I wanted you to keep in mind is that the democratic governance of Pacifica is very important to those of us who participate in it, and we believe those who put us in our positions, the listeners, for most of us and some of us, it was staff votes that put our LSB membership on in their positions. We have limited powers, but one of them is we play a very important role when there's a turnover in the GM position. So I would like to weigh in for the idea that no further interim appointment be made to our KPFK GM position pending either the adoption of one of the other names who was an also-ran in the last search that was conducted through our personnel committee. I was not on the committee, but I followed the action as closely as I could and participated in something of a straw vote to rank the finalists. And I did that with a lot of care, as I think all my colleagues did. So that wouldn't be objectionable to pick from the old pool, in my humble opinion. But what would be strongly objectionable to me anyway is the idea of picking some person who self-applied or was mentioned, but had not formally applied and had not been vetted by the personnel committee. So I think the only alternatives are to pick from the old list of the also-rans or to open up an entirely new search through the personnel committee. Otherwise, there's going to be a bad, it's going to create some bad feelings and some questions about the legitimacy of whoever's appointed. We have enough controversy. We don't get along nearly as well as we should. And I just worry greatly that any shakeup that isn't according to our established procedures will make matters worse. That's my not so great news. But thank you for all your service to date, and I hope you will have a very long, productive tenure with Pacifica. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. So it was pointed out, and I think it is correct, that the interim, I believe Sue was appointed as an acting general manager. The ED could appoint an interim while the search goes on. And it would, that has been done before. We've had interims replaced by other interims before the search was concluded. So I think that would not be out of order.
May I be recognized again, Michael, since you talked right over my point? My point was the opposite.
I understand. I was responding to your point.
I didn't. First of all, I wasn't addressing you. I'm addressing the executive director of the organization has the power to make these appointments.
Okay, thank you. And in any case, my main point is that I believe we should conduct the search, but I don't think that is up right now. It is on the agenda.
Eric,
circulate.
Eric again. Michael, please ask to be recognized for yourself as well. I agree with the comment.
I put myself.
Do not abuse the prerogative of the chair to not do things in an orderly way. Thank you.
Out of order.
I put myself on the stack and I called on myself. So please don't interrupt me, Eric.
Chair, this is Arnold. I seek recognition to give us a time status check.
And okay,
thank you. Go ahead.
If Ms. Wells or Ms. Samantha doesn't have any responses to the board members, we have 7 minutes and 9 seconds. And I wanted to ask you, do I continue the clock doing public comment or does the clock stop?
There's a separate clock for public comment. There's 10 minutes of public comment and it's 90 seconds per speaker. Before we get to public comment, I did want to complete my comment because I did put myself on the stack and I would like to finish making my comment or question. So I did circulate to the board, to the ED, to the PNB, some comments that were made as part, as Lawrence mentioned earlier. We've had for a while a working group to try to reestablish a community advisory board here at KPFK. There was a little bit of a setback because we lost the general manager. We're not able to get that posted on the air. I do want to make sure that the information about the openings for the CAB is run in rotation on the air during the course of this month because we're planning to bring to the local station board in April nominations and bylaws for a reconstituted CAB. In addition to that, in the second round of, we had 2 days of discussions with people interested in the community advisory board, and it was posted to KPFDX, including the Zoom coordinates to join that. And on the second day, Bruce Raymer, who is the chair of the CPB, joined the call and made some very pointed comments about the lack of compliance of various stations, including our own, with the CPB regulations. And I did copy all those out of the chat, put them in a document along with the PNB policy on cabs, which did meet one of his objections that there was no place posted as to what the terms, the procedures, and so on were. But I would call that to Stephanie's attention and to the acting GM and to the board and to the national board, because I think that Pacifica has a very, very poor record of its own institutional memory. And so we're trying to follow that procedure. We will be coming back to the board in April on this, and hopefully that will be timely for the application. Elections. I know you've had I'm not muted. I see myself lighting up. Can people hear me?
Yeah, it was for a while, Michael.
Close to a minute.
Yeah, it was just like a
silence. Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, my other question was in relation to the elections. We have elections coming up this year, and normally sometime in March, there's an effort to get a national election supervisor or someone to supervise the election process and to make sure that we have the other issue that's come up is the fact that the member roles are often not in very good shape. So I want to make sure that everybody understands that it's not just for the elections, but California Corporations Code requires that we keep an accurate and up-to-date list of our members at our headquarters. So if you have any response, Stephanie or Sue, to that, and then we'll take public comment after that.
Can I just add something, Chair, if I could be recognized briefly?
Okay, quickly, please.
In regards to the National Election Supervisor, there should be an open process and a RFP send out recruiting a National Election Supervisor.
All right, thank you. So Stephanie or Sue, did you want to respond to any of the points that were made?
This is Stephanie. I am actually looking this year to hire an outside company or organization person that can run the election, since that has been an issue in the past. I would rather try to have an election that is with somebody that's not done this before, so we don't run into anybody saying that there are any issues. The biggest point, though, is what I've been informed is just making sure that we have accurate, clean, and updated lists. So I am reaching out to the stations to make sure that they can start pulling those lists and we can get them updated as often as we need to be before the actual election takes place. But I am actively seeking an outside organization to run the elections.
Okay, great. Thank you. So we are going to take public comment now for about 10 minutes, about 90 seconds each. I've had two people in the chat that were asking. One is Peggy Kennedy, Andrew Weiss, then Michael Heiss, Kim Kaufman.
Mr. Chairman.
Peggy, are you still on the call?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Yeah, Raymond, did you want to be on the stack?
With your permission.
Okay. All right. So Peggy, Andrew, Michael, Kim, and Raymond. In that order. Go ahead, Peggy.
Hi, Peggy Kennedy here with the Venice Justice Committee. And also, I work with Services Not Sweeps.
I'm sorry, there's a lot of echo. I don't know if it's coming from you or someone else, but if you're not.
Is it still echoing? Damn. Because I'm just on unmute. I'm on my phone.
Yeah, you are still echoing. You're going to have to turn the volume down on the computer all the way down.
I don't have the computer. I don't have a computer on. I'm just on my phone. How is that?
Much better.
Okay. So here's the huge issue that I have with KPFK is that we have a gigantic crisis in Los Angeles City and the county and Southern California, the whole area. It's homelessness and the lack of affordable housing and criminalization, how people living outside are being treated. It's quite horrific. And we really need on our local station programs that are addressing this. We have a lot of grassroots activists that are doing things. I don't understand why KPFK refuses to address this issue in the way other media is, in a very negative way. We continue have to see other media, and we have the main candidates for mayors all saying more police, and that's the way to address this. It's horrific. And you know, we have a sister station right up north that I have to listen to because they actually have the news and they actually talk about these issues. There is one, you could start with one program and build off of it. There is somebody doing a podcast right now called We the Unhoused. I'm sure that is a really good beginning because Theo Henderson is addressing voices of unhoused people. You could move into something like we used to do with Indie Media On Air. Maybe we could do Knock On Air or something like that. But something that brings out really specifically the voices of the people being oppressed right now. Because KPFK is not doing that. And the city is just continually spending huge amounts of money on criminalizing people. And it, you know, the city and the county has caused this problem, and they're not, and they're always blaming the victim. Where are our comrades at KPFK? I have been begging for this, and it's really hard for me to even get on here and make these public comments. So I hope you will listen to me. Please listen to me about this. You could just start with one voice right now.
Okay, thank you, Peggy. That's the time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Andrew, then Michael Heiss, Kim Kaufman, Raymond Goldstone. I have Sarah Roos and then two people on the phone, not identified. Andrew, then Michael Heiss.
Yes, thank you, Chair. This is Andrew Weiss, KPFK longtime listener sponsor. Greetings to both the executive director and our acting general manager. Question for both of you. My primary concern as a listener is open communication and dialogue and input between management and the listeners. So my question for both of you, for the executive director, as I've asked you, will you commit to doing the required twice a year report to the listeners network-wide? I would recommend that it be done as soon as possible, and that can serve to introduce yourself to the listenership. I would also recommend it be done more often, perhaps quarterly, every 3 months, or even more so. And then for the acting general manager, Mr. Landau, the same question as I've asked you. I ask if you would request and that you would commit to doing a report to the listener on air on a monthly basis and do one immediately this week coming up to introduce yourself to the listenership and put everybody at ease. And then also commit to doing, continuing allowing the local station board to do the required report to the listeners on air every 2 months. I would ask that you also include in the reports to the listener that you do other staff members and perhaps do it more often than once a month so we can dialogue with more of the staff, including yourself and other management. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, thanks. Michael Heiss, then Kim, and then Raymond.
Dr. Halley on the stack, please.
Yes, thanks, Michael. Actually, I'm also at a community event, so I don't have a lot of time. I want to thank Stephanie and Stuart for what they're doing and what we know they're going to do. I have a lot of things that seem to have gone into the ethers in the various committees, so I hope you don't mind if when I get past some work issues, I'll present them to you directly via email to see if I can get traction. This just doesn't appear to be happening in some of the committees. But my question right now with regards to the search for a new GM, I appreciate the time savings that might be accomplished by dipping into the previous pool. But since compliance with various regulations and requirements is of utmost importance.
What happened to Michael? I don't know.
Is it required that that position be publicly so that now that there's an opening that people can apply who are not aware or not available during the previous search? Thank you.
Thanks. Did Michael fade in and out for everybody, or is that a problem on my end?
He faded in and out.
No, okay. I'm afraid right. It was probably
okay. All right, thanks.
With bad connectivity. The question is, do we need to publicly post the position?
That's right. Going on to Kim Kaufman.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm Kim Kaufman. I am the elected treasurer, but I'm speaking not in that capacity here. At Wednesday's governance meeting for the protocols for the General Manager Search Committee and CAB elections, I moved that the LSB shall vote in advance of any election on the tellers who will facilitate the election, and it will not be the sole decision of the chair. My motion was defeated. Chair Novick insisted the chair has always been able to choose the tellers at his discretion. I am unaware of any such protocol, and my recollection is that all tellers have always been agreed upon by the LSBs before any election. Going forward, I asked Sarah Roos if she would be interested in being an election teller for KPFK elections, so the LSB may have some alternate tellers if needed. I know her from around the time John Dacey was floating spending $1 billion on iPads for LAUSD. A small group organically started working together to nix his plan, which resulted in the feds raiding Daisy's office and his subsequent resignation. Those were good times. I remember that Sarah is a statistician and a supporter of KPFK. I asked Sarah if she would be interested in doing the election teller thing, and she said yes. She is on the stack here to speak. Please listen to her and consider her as an alternate election teller. We needed. Please cede the rest of my time to Sarah to speak to you. Thank you for your consideration.
Okay, thanks. There are two tellers designated. The question is if they're not available. So, Sarah, did you want to speak further?
Hello?
Sarah, you're muted.
Sure.
There you go.
Yeah. Go ahead. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thanks. I really appreciate being asked to help out at KPFK with your election. Thank you so much. I think a lot of you already know me from local political work on the West Side and also through my writing at LA Progressive and City Watch. You may not know, I have a master's degree in biostatistics and an ABD in epidemiology from USC. I've been using my statistical skills to write about education and follow the money politics for about a decade. That work is archived at Red Queen in LA. You can see it. I'm also an elected member of the County Central Committee and also treasurer of the Children's Caucus for the state-level Democratic Party. I heard the new ED mention that you would like to hire an outside party to conduct elections. I think that seems very sensible, but it also seems very expensive. I'm happy to do what I can as a volunteer. I understand there's probably need for objectivity here. I know you all are fighting an uphill battle to keep the station going, but I don't actually know very much about the details of that struggle, but I do know it's vital. So I could tell you a little about how important the radio's been to me. I grew up in New Hampshire where there was no radio at all, really, except for local top 40 stations. Sometimes I could catch WLS all the way from Chicago at night. But in high school, Vermont Public Radio, while I was in high school, they came online, and it just changed the world for me. So that cold landscape's a blockade, but there was this wormhole provided by that radio signal, which is a way to catch wind of other people out there. So to me, that radio signal brought them to me with their different perspectives, different viewpoints, different opinions. It's a real world source of information. It's an escape. It's not just fantasy.
Okay.
It's so important. I can't tell you how important the radio is to me. So anyway, if I can be helpful, please let me know how. This would be my great honor. Thank you.
Okay, I believe Raymond Goldstone was next. And then a lot of hands up. And how much time do we have left for public comment, Lawrence? You're muted.
I'm sorry, Chair. I asked you if I should hold the time from the agenda item, and you said you have two different pots, one for public comment and one
for public comment. There's 10 minutes for public comment. That's what I said. I'm asking you how much time is left on public comment right now.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We have a minute and 37 seconds. But Chair, if I could be recognized, to make a motion to extend public comment for another 5 minutes, which will make it about 7 minutes total.
All right,
we'll give a second.
We can take additional time from there are three public comment periods of about 10 minutes. We'll just take the time for one of the other public comment periods. We'll continue the public comment here while the ED and acting GM are on. So the next one is Raymond Goldstone.
Available now. He's waiting. He's online.
Okay.
Now he's available. Thank you. Sorry for interrupting.
Okay. We did say, so we're going to hold the public comment for a moment because Mr. Schwartz has to get on an airplane. We said that we would make time available to him. Is he actually on the call, Beth?
I believe so. That's what he texted to me.
I'm actually on the call.
Okay, Arthur, go ahead. Take a few minutes to explain what you can to, on a public stream about the current state of litigation. Arthur, go ahead. You have the floor.
Can you hear me now?
Now we do. Go ahead. Yes.
Okay.
Please proceed.
Sorry if I seem hassled. I'm at the airport. I just want people in the LSB to just know a little bit. You know, I'm the General Counsel of Pacifica. I am a producer of a show on WBAI. I have been since 2017. And a show that has featured, you know, my first show featured a young candidate named Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I am a union side an employee side labor lawyer for 40 years, represent some of the most militant unions in New York City. And I became general counsel in 2019, after representing the LSB at WBAI when the station was taken off the air and winning that case. And then the board asked me if I would be general counsel. So I sort of switched sides immediately after the case was over. And I want people to understand something about the litigation involving the last bylaw vote. And there's a lot of misinformation in the resolution that has come out there. And understand, I am, my approach to stuff at Pacifica has been to resolve problems. I got involved in your local negotiations with SAG 2 weeks ago, and I'm glad to say that the staff, within those 2 weeks, the staff, we adjusted the agreement, the staff voted to accept it. All those, that year of negotiations is hopefully over if the National SAG Board approves the contract. And the same thing is true with this whole New Day referendum business. We had a vote, we applied the bylaws in a way that I thought was correct, in a way that the National Election Supervisor thought was correct, and in a way that had been agreed between Pacifica and the New Day lawyer, who I negotiated a whole process with that involved mostly arbitration of various disputes that came up. And they agreed that we would apply the same method that we had applied the year before for the prior bylaw vote, which was that two classes, there'd be two classes of voters, and it had to be passed by both classes of voters. It's in writing. Anybody that wants to see it, you know, we can put it up somewhere. I can't put it. I wish I could put it on Zoom right now, but I can't do that. The referendum turned out the way that it did. The listeners voted yes. The staff voted no. The New Day folks said, we're going to sue. I said, you know what? They're going to sue in Alameda. Alameda's never been a friendly place for Pacifica. So we filed the suit basically to resolve the issue. We right or wrong, we filed it in Los Angeles. New Day went into court. What's the first thing they did? Instead of just saying, okay, let's resolve the question, they said they filed a motion to move the case to Alameda. So we had to spend months litigating that. It wasn't, then 4 months later, after that was denied, then they filed a counterclaim, seeking basically the same relief that we sought. But the court keeps throwing out their counterclaim. They could just say, listen, judge, let's decide the issue. You know, was Pacifica's leadership right or wrong? If we were wrong, we'd have to implement the bylaws. If we're right, then we keep going the way that we're going. One of the interesting things that's happened in the interim is you basically have now, you have a new ED, Stephanie, who I think you just heard from. You have a new chair of the PNB, Julie Hewitt from Washington, D.C. You have a new vice chair, Beth Van Gutten, from your station. So there is new leadership all over Pacifica. And there's a secretary, a new secretary, new leadership. It's all women. What's happened with the litigation is Jan Goodman and her husband keep litigating and filing. They file papers, the judge throws it out. They file more papers, the judge throws it out. They file more papers, the judge throws it out. All of that's just dragging this whole thing out. Now, somebody said that it's cost $400,000. That's bullshit. I hope I'm not on the air, right? I know I can't say that on the air. We hired a fairly low cost. First of all, I'm taking the lead in the litigation. I've been admitted by the court to practice in California. The local attorneys who are working with me are a group that works with nonprofits. Maybe the bill has been about $25,000 so far. Otherwise, I do it, and my retainer is bargain basement rate. I get paid $250 an hour for my work. Which is the same thing I was charging 30 years ago to some of the unions I represent. And the whole idea of the litigation is to have a judge look at the law, look at the bylaws, and make a decision. instead of all this back and forth and counterclaims and they want damages and they want attorney's fees, just let a court decide it. But that's not the way Jan and her husband Jerry want to handle it. So that's the way, that's why it's dragged on so long. They want to do it in Alameda. They lost that. I don't know why Jan and Jerry practice in Los Angeles. They wanted to litigate in Alameda. So that's question number one. The second issue that's come up that I saw in your motion was about some candidates that got the list, as we allow every candidate to do, they got.
So just to be clear, that motion, Arthur, that motion is not on the agenda today. It was ruled out of order.
So that's what's going on. And I'm telling you, I have no problem sharing with the bills, you know, to show that the law firm, what they've built so far, to show what I've built so far. It hasn't been that expensive. And it could cost zero more if we just said to the judge, decide the issue. And I happen to think that Pacifica Leadership is right. I think it's very clear that the bylaws would have impacted the staff class, which I happen to be a member of as a staffer who produces the show, would have affected the staff class differently. And that triggered the bylaw provision, which allows, which requires both classes of voters to approve any bylaw change. And that's basically what, you know, what's going on. And this is not, you know, we're concerned about the fact that the mailing list that New Day developed out of the mailing list we let them use for about 10 months, is being used to raise money to sue us. The judge said, well, it's not the same list, so therefore they can do it. That's unfortunate, but, so now what's left in the case is, were we right or were we wrong? And if Jerry and Jan, who seem to be the only people really participating in this litigation, would just say, okay, judge, we agree. Give us a decision. Are they right or wrong? It would all be over. And if we're wrong, new people would take leadership in Pacifica. And if we're right, we would just continue doing what we're doing, which over the last number of months has been pretty positive. Now we've gotten four audits done. We've paid down the FJC loan by $1.6 million. We sold the Houston property for a nice piece of money. They're about to buy a new property for the station. We're negotiating with CPB about getting that funding back. We have a new ED who is not at all connected to any of the fights of the past, who's a great fundraiser. That was her primary qualification. We're, you know, the foundation is moving forward. And we settled the contract at KPFK without any more, you know, angst. And the idea really from here on, and I've said this to the union folks, Ali, if he's on this call, can tell you, we want to have the staff and Pacifica as a foundation unite, move forward, raise money for KPFK, no more cuts, no more layoffs, no more, you know, attacking. Let's build the stations the way they need to get built. I am one of you, both as a listener and as a producer, and I want you to all to appreciate that. Okay?
Thank you. So we were in the midst of public comment, and we're going to go back to it. I think Raymond Goldstone is next, and then Dr. Halley, Janine Rohn, Angel Jaramillo, Laura Levinson. I see a couple of people on phones. Raymond, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Mr. Chair, may I be recognized? This is the only reason.
Yeah, we're in the middle of public comment, Myla. So,
yes, I understand that, but I think when will the board have an opportunity to respond to a lot of what I consider to be misleading information just provided to the board by General Counsel for Pacifica?
Arthur, how much time do you have to be on this call? We heard you had to catch a plane.
Leave the flight. I'm at the gate. It's going to board soon, but I think we take up 12:45.
Chair, this is Donald. May I be recognized? May I be recognized, Chair?
Let me check. How much time did you say you had, Arthur?
Well, the flight leaves at 12:45, so it's now 12:08. I'd say
and they board
on for 20 minutes. 20 minutes, yeah.
Okay. Lawrence?
Yeah, I just want to strike the last word that Mother Reason continues with her dilatory behavior, and she should stop that.
Okay. Okay, so if we have 20 minutes, we're going to finish up the 10 minutes of public comment, and then we'll have about 10 minutes for the board to respond to Arthur. Go ahead, Raymond.
Thank you. It's unfortunate that there have been many interruptions, and that public comment comes immediately. Hello? Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Raymond. I'm sorry. I had a mute Arthur because he had his mic open and it was causing some distraction.
Thank you. What I want to comment upon in particular has to do with item 4B, paragraph or section 1 of the agenda, the additional governance motion having to do with Spanish language programmers, not apparently as one or more. I don't believe that motion is in order yet, because I cannot determine from it whether or not and under whose direction any outside on-air drives or off-air drives would be conducted, whether others besides KPFK would benefit financially from those events, and if so, how the money would be divided. I cannot determine from that motion whether or not these are for-pay events, and if so, how the proceeds are divided, if at all. And finally, I believe, or I'm unclear, how this particular motion relates to the KPFK media sponsorship programs. And I just think until those questions are answered clearly, that motion should be either postponed or defeated. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. We'll get to that later on the agenda. Dr. Halley, you're next.
Yeah, the number that's making all the noise is last 47138.
Yeah. Tribute to Dr. Halley, you're next. Please speak.
Oh, yes, thank you. Yes, I'm glad to be here. Now, I'll begin by saying, once again, I'd like to congratulate Stuart and Stephanie on their ascending to their positions. I'd also like to agree with Peggy Kennedy about the need to put significant attention on this issue of homelessness. As a matter of fact, I'm in downtown LA near the LA Convention Center, and about a block from here is a so-called Morrison Hotel. I've been pushing people to put attention on this, push for this to be converted to low-cost housing, which would be relatively inexpensive. And we just received notice this week that there are big plans to turn it into this big structure with shops and modern hotel, and that I think we have no need for whatever, completely commercial enterprise with no provision for low-cost housing. So I agree with her. This is a very important issue. And I'd like to see it represented on at least a couple of programs on KPFK. I guess that's it for now. Thank you.
So I have Janine Rohn, Angel Jaramillo, Laura Levinson. I have two people on the phone with their hands up, 323 number that ends in 7138. Who is that? Or are you still asking to speak?
That is Margot Iser.
Okay, all right, thank you. All right, Thank you. We'll put you on the, we'll put you on the stack. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. I will mute myself again. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead, Janine.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to talk about the elections. I'm very happy to hear that Stephanie is going to go to an outside source for our elections. I was on the National Committee and also on the task force, and there was a lot of issues, especially getting carts up on the air and describing to the membership how they can vote and, you know, and on a constant basis. I guess that used to be done and we've veered away from it. So that I'm happy to hear that the lists are getting cleaned up, and I do have an email going out to Stephanie about the specifics, other specifics that came up. The GM search committee, I was on that last year, and I agree that any new names coming into the fold, it would be great to get those to the LSB or the committee if it's formed. Regarding the news, having local news, I know Oscar Ulloa got support from the PNB for his program that he suggested called Pacifica in the Streets. And we've talked about it a lot on the fundraising committee. And I think that if there are people, the listeners that are interested in helping, this is a volunteer-based news programming. And yes, course, covering homeless. It's huge in the city. There's a big difference between affordable housing. I work in my district on these types of issues, and there's a big difference between, quote, affordable housing and low income housing. Affordable housing is based on the median income in an area, which has already risen quite a bit. So we need low income housing. And regarding the Spanish speaking motion, I really believe that we need to support and acknowledge the value of our Spanish-speaking community. And what they do is so organic, and it's one of the few things that are working with our fundraising efforts that I really think that maybe there's things that need to be amended, but that we really should support them.
Okay, thanks, Jenny. How much time is left on the extension of Lawrence?
Chair, a minute and 30 seconds.
Okay, we have Angel Jaramillo, and then we'll have to come back to public comment later. We're going to hear some quick responses to Arthur after that from the board. Angel, go ahead. You have to unmute yourself.
Who are you talking?
Angel Jaramillo. Angel Jaramillo has to unmute himself. Go ahead, Angel. You have 90 seconds.
Yes, just give me a chance. Thank you for giving me the chance to say something the way how I think, not only myself as a programmer for KPFK radio station, but especially the Spanish program. We really feel, and myself feel like we just leave aside, and we really want to interact with our listeners on our regular programs for fundraising. At the beginning, you know, over 3 years ago, when I started with my program, which is Hablando de Sudamérica, where we talk about all of the news that you never hear on any radio, any TV about what's going on in South America. So please try to see, I mean, what is what you can do for us so we can interact with our listeners on when we are working right now with fundraising. We need more support. I mean, the Spanish speaker in Los Angeles, in California, is so huge, and we're just not getting any kind of support. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Angel. So the other public comment will have to wait till the next public comment period, and we'll take some questions from the board for Arthur before he has to get on the plane. Myla, and then Bella.
Yes, I'm wondering if Arthur can tell us how many hours he has billed Pacifica for the work in the litigation, Pacifica v. New Day. And I'd also like to know why Arthur violated the agreement to arbitrate in terms of the results of the referendum on the new days, on the reform of the bylaws, and went to court instead of allowing the arbitration to make the arbitrator to make the decision about the results of the referendum on the revision of the bylaws.
Well, thanks. So why don't we take the other questions or comments, and then we'll hear from Arthur. Bella? Bella, you have to unmute.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I want to speak regarding the Spanish language program.
No, I'm sorry, Bella. We're having questions.
I understand. Let me finish, please. I will not speak at this moment because I raised my hand to speak about a particular issue.
Thank you. Are there other questions or comments from board members? I see Lawrence Reyes and Beth Van Gunsen. Lawrence, go ahead.
Yeah, this relentless character assassination of people who are trying to keep our network standing, it appalls me. It makes me sick to my stomach. And this constant misinformation campaign that is coming from some on this board really needs to stop. And I appreciate Arthur's being able to be candid with not only the board, but with the listeners that are in this meeting. And Arthur, I don't think you need to justify anything else. You are doing a tremendous job for Pacifica. And I, as a PMB director, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
I'm sorry, I was muted. Beth and then Ali, also two other directors. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, I would like to encourage Arthur, actually, please, to address the issue of the four excluded candidates from the last ballot, because that question comes up again and again and again at every meeting. And then beyond that, on another issue, could you address the Goldmacher case or cases and where we stand with that? Thank you.
Did you have a question or comment? And then we'll hear from Arthur again and then move on. Ellie, Alexa?
Just commenting that I wanted to reiterate that Arthur was correct, that his representation in the union negotiations was very efficient, very quick, and a breeze, and it was a complete 180 from what we had to deal with a very, very high-priced attorney over the last year and 2 months. That's all.
Thank you. So, Arthur, did you want to take a few minutes to respond? Arthur, can you unmute yourself and respond if you have a chance? Arthur Schwartz, can you hear me?
Go ahead.
All right. So the first thing is the first question. I have a retainer with Pacifica that pays me $5,000 a month and includes up to 20 hours of work. Do the math. That comes out to $250 an hour. If I don't exceed that, I get $5,000. Almost all the work I've done on the New Day case has fallen under that 20 hour a month cap. So my actual billing for time on New Day has been extremely, extremely low. Maybe less than $5,000. And I think I'm the first general counsel that doesn't bill everything by the hour. The agreement that the arbitration agreement had 10 paragraphs. One paragraph is there shall be the same procedure, the same voting methods used as in the 2019 referendum, which everyone understood meant two classes of voters. And then it said disputes about the process shall be arbitrated. We had unbelievably numbers of arbitration, but when a month before the end, New Day person said, we want to arbitrate whether there should be two classes of voters. I said, we already agreed on that. We don't have to arbitrate whether this should be. You agreed on that. And they said, if you think I'm wrong, go to court and compel arbitration. They didn't do that. But that's why we didn't do it. We didn't want to arbitrate something that we'd already agreed had been an express agreement to. The third thing that I recall is on the Turner-Goldmacher case where they sued to have Pacifica put in receivership and also to get damages out of Grace Aaron and Alex Steinberg in New York for losses suffered by Pacifica. That was dismissed four times by a court in Los Angeles, four times. And on the fourth one, they said no more, and it's being appealed. And that cost us $100,000. I didn't do that litigation. We had to hire outside attorneys to both represent Pacifica and to represent Grace and Alex. So that cost $100,000, and now that's still being appealed. And the final thing on the four candidates, there was a postcard that went out using a list that we let all candidates use, went through a third-party vendor. The postcard was supposed to promote their candidacies. But on one side of the postcard, it said, donate money to New Day so they can fight Pacifica on whether or not the referendum passed. We thought, the National Election Supervisor and I, we agreed, thought that was inappropriate. So we said to those candidates, you have to send out another postcard saying it was wrong for us to do that. That was use of Pacifica's list to raise money for something other than the election. Please send out a postcard that says, donate money to KPFK. That's what we asked. And if you don't do that, you're going to be disqualified. And we were negotiating with Jan Goodman for a month over the language that would go on that postcard. And we actually thought that it was sent out. And then we found out it didn't go out. And so the National Election Supervisor disqualified them, and their votes were not counted. That's why there were four people. There were eight of the eight candidates on that postcard. Four of them said, I had no idea this was even going out. But the other four didn't say that. And so they were the ones that were disqualified. So I think I answered all the questions. And
thank you.
I'm going to go get on a plane. And
John,
I hope the next time I'm in Los Angeles, I have family there. I was just there, but I was showing my daughter colleges. I can go visit and attend one of your meetings. All right. Thank
sure.
you very
Thank
much.
You.
And you all do you all do great work. I really, you know, I appreciate it. I'm part of the family. Bye bye.
We're on Zoom. Chad, you can come on. You know, thank you for your.
Chad, if I could say something to Arthur, please send it to UCLA.
All right. So just to point out that the bylaws changed, but it created three classes of membership. So this the idea that it doesn't affect two classes differently. Is absurd in the face of it, and that the use of the mailing list violated California Corporations Code. So we're going to move on to the agenda, which is the PNB directors. I'm sorry, the Personnel Governance Committee motion. This is the question of the GM search. So
what's the time frame on that, Chair?
We have 15 minutes for the motions, those two motions, and then 10 minutes for the additional governance motion, which is the one about the Spanish language programming. So 15 minutes now on the GM search. There was a motion from the Personnel Committee that was put forward.
Mike, Chair, you muted yourself. I hear you this
morning. Sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. There was a motion adopted by the Personnel Committee and being sent to the LSB, and that's in the agenda, which is on KPFDX. I'll read it for the record for people listening on the stream. Personnel Committee moved that the local station board establish a GM search committee of 11 members elected by an STV ballot to conduct the search. And based on that, then I talked to the tellers, Terry Goodman and John Gary. John Gary said he couldn't be on, but Terry is with us. And we drafted a motion which the Governance Committee is presenting based on the previous procedures. It's a motion for the STV election for General Manager Search Committee. So we can get into that depending on what we do about the first one. So the personnel committee motion is to establish a GM search committee of 11 members elected by SDV ballot. And if we agree to that, then we'll go on to the question of how to do that SDV balloting. So I'll take some discussion from the floor. Whether the speaker in favor or opposed to this question of having a GM search committee constituted.
Mr. Chair, may I be recognized? This is Myla Reason.
Yeah, go ahead, Myla.
Mr. Chair, it is out of order for one committee to make a motion about another committee, especially a PNB committee or task force. There are no minutes and no audio for the governance committee going back into last year. There is no record of who is on this committee or if any of the meetings made quorum or happened or who may have voted for the motion. Or if it was even a meeting. Therefore, any motions from the governance committee are out of order.
Okay, thank you for that point. But at the moment, the actual business on the floor is the personnel committee motion. And the personnel committee did meet. There were minutes posted. There was audio saved. And it's the motion to establish a GM search committee of 11 members elected by an SCV ballot to conduct the search. So I'm looking for discussion about that motion.
Chair, Lawrence, our seats are recognition to speak on the motion.
Okay, go ahead, Lawrence, and I see Harvey has a hand up as well.
Okay, so as reported by our esteemed ED, Ms. Stephanie Wells, she was going to tap into the pool that that was left over from both GM searches from KPFT and KPFK. But since there are new people interested in the position, I believe the motion is given standing right now. And I don't think there needs to be a second because it comes out of do you need a second, Chair? Because
no, it's coming from the personnel committee.
Okay, so I would support the populating of a new GM search committee. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I have Harvey, then Ali, and Bell, is your hand up for this? No, you lowered it. Okay, Harvey Wasserman. You have to unmute.
I wanted to support Myra's point.
Okay, thank you. But that's not, it can come up when we get to the second motion. Ali Lexa, on this question of a GM search committee.
Yes, I have an amendment to the motion.
Okay, what is your amendment?
I would like to change the population of the committee to 7 members, not 11. I can motivate it, but a committee of 11 is way too big for this.
And 7. Great. I second that motion, that amendment.
Okay, thank you. Wait to be recognized, though, Grace. All right, so motion.
Point of order. Do we have to be recognized to make a second? I don't think so.
I don't know. All right. Thank you. Yeah. In any case, made and seconded a motion to amend the personnel committee to 7 members. Discussion on that motion?
Mr. Chair, Bella DeSoto, may I be recognized?
Yes, go ahead, Bella.
Can I motivate?
No, oh, okay. Yes, that's right. You should motivate it first. Thank you. Go ahead, Ali.
Right. So in the past, I've been probably in over a dozen of these personnel search committees. Having a committee of 11, I mean, it's almost half the board. It's a lot of work. Sometimes these committees meet every week. The results of the committee, they bring
the results. You are correct. You do not have to be recognized to make a second to make a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Tatum.
That is the one thing that you can holler out at a meeting and not get in trouble.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Tatum. Go back, Ali. Sorry, that was interruption.
Yes. So I just wanted to point out, it's always an odd number, right? 5, 7, 9, and so forth, so that it's not split. The results of the committee are brought before the entire board. So the entire board is participating. They can get updates from the committee on how the search is going and so forth. So there is interaction from the entire board. But a search committee of 11 is unwieldy. It's large. It's going to be hard to reach quorum. A committee of that size
usually will end up spending 6 months or more on their search. So, you know, I've seen that seven is a very workable number, very efficient. And once again, nobody's being disenfranchised because the results and updates come before the entire board. So I would encourage everyone to support my my amendment to make this a committee of seven. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ali. Bella?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I would like to speak against that amendment. The way I motivated it during in the personnel committee is that 2 years ago, we worked very well with 11 members, and it was very congenial. We were doing the evaluation of the GM and then later for the PD. And it worked very well. We got a lot done. We did have, we had to have more than usual frequent meetings because of the time restraints. But we worked well, and 11 would be a democratic lineup of people working on this situation. Thank you. I urge the vote yes to 11.
Chair.
Okay, so just to be clear, right now there's an amendment to make it seven, so that would require a no vote. I'm sorry. Mr. Tatum, please ask for permission before you speak, because it's confusing to us when you just speak out, even if you're a parliamentarian. We're not accustomed to having a parliamentarian on the call. What did you want to say?
I'm very sorry. I thought I was muted.
Okay. Okay, so just to clarify, hang on a second, Lawrence, to clarify for everyone, we're operating under a PNB motion for search committees, which specifies that a committee can be established with a minimum of seven and a maximum of 11. So that's the range between seven and 11. And as Ali said, it's usually an odd number. Last year, we did have the GM search committee of nine. 2 years ago, we had the evaluation committees of 11 that Bella referred to. Lawrence, go ahead.
Yes, Chair. Last time I checked, 11 is an odd number. I found it interesting that the previous speaker mentioned all the odd numbers for the 11. I served on the nine-person search committee, that odd number, and it was a very productive committee. And I think... moving it to 11 will be productive. It would allow more diversity of views. I think compressing it to seven leads to perhaps a dominant committee controlling the personnel committee and as a result, controlling the outcome. So I support the motion for 11.
Okay, so the motion right now is an amendment to make it seven. I just want everybody to be clear on what we're considering at the moment. It's not the 11, it's the seven. If that's defeated, then we'll go back to the original motion from personnel. I'm wondering if there's any comment from the management regarding this at this point, as far as going ahead to constitute the committee, if the ED or the GM, acting GM, want to say anything?
Excuse me, Chair. I have a point of order.
Yes, what's your point of order?
I think management at this moment, we're discussing the number of a committee that is going to be possibly recommending the selection of a GM.
Okay.
Is I think it may not be appropriate.
Okay, we'll come back to it. We'll come back to it on the main motion because. Beth, go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, I would like to point out that the more people you have in any one meeting, the less, the longer the meeting takes and the less time each person has to speak. And it leads to exhausting meetings and meetings in which we don't have time to go into depth because we're skating across the surface of everybody's opinion. And I'd also like to point out that at least a couple of the people who stood for election and were elected to the last GM search committee attended, you know, the first couple of meetings and then disappeared. And we need a commitment. If people want to serve on this committee and are elected, they should have to commit to actually attending and doing the work, This is one of the hardest working committees I've ever had to serve on. It takes a lot of time. So to spread that out over that many more people and expect them to show up, you know, when, for me, when we start talking about 11 people, that's as many as we can. We max out at that number. Any more than that, and we would we're not allowed because it would be quorum. So I.
Yes, that is the maximum. The range in the PNB policy on this is 7 to 11. So it's a minimum of 7 and a maximum of 11. And we're debating the question of whether we should reduce it to the minimum of 7. To further discussion on this question, Miley, hands up.
Isn't it reduce it to a maximum of 7?
No, I said that the authorizing policy from the PNB is the subcommittee shall include a minimum of 7 and a maximum of 11. We're going to set that number at this meeting. We can set it at 7, 9, or 11.
Okay, and this
there's a motion to make it 7.
And it doesn't have anything to do with the appointment of the tellers at this time? Is that correct?
No, that's right. Nothing about the tellers at all right now. We're just voting on the personnel committee motion to establish the committee.
And one further question, if I might, Mr. Chair.
Quickly.
Does this also contain any language about enlarging the pool or not? Because I object to enlarging the pool.
This is to carry out a new search, yes. And the idea is that we would not rely on the previous pool.
Okay.
We would conduct a new search.
I'm opposed to that. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. Further comments? Yes. Go ahead, Bella.
Soto, if I may be recognized.
Go ahead.
Can I urge the chair to get back to our agenda because our clock is running out?
Yes, we're on the agenda. Thank you, Bella. We're about to vote on the question. I want to restate the motion. This is an amendment to the Personnel Committee motion to limit the GM Search Committee, which we would then vote on whether to actually establish, to 7 members. So Ralph is going to call the roll on that amendment to make it a 7-member committee. Ralph, can you call the roll? Ralph Hawkins, are you with us? Ralph, you're muted.
Chair, may I make a suggestion?
Hang on a second. I'm just going to open up the roster and do it myself.
Okay.
Okay, on the question, I can't see your hands. I'm just going to call the roll alphabetically. On the question of limiting the size of the GM search committee to 7 members, Grace Aaron?
Yes.
Christina Avalos?
Yes.
Alan Beek?
Alan Volks, yes.
Jose Benavides, I don't think is present. Jose, are you here? Have you joined the call? I don't hear you. Sandy Childs?
Yes.
Marisol Cruz? Is Marisol still with us? I think she had to leave the call. Bella DeSoto. Bella, on the question, you have to unmute yourself, Bella, and I can't see the screen as I'm taking the roll. Bella, how do you vote on the question of reducing the GM Search Committee to 7 members? I'll come back to her.
No, Mr. Chair, no, okay. Bella DeSoto.
She's having a no. Okay, thank you.
You didn't call Fred Blair.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're not on the roster, Fred. All right. My apologies. We'll have to get that corrected by Otis. Fred Blair?
Yes.
Thank you. Sorry, Fred. My apologies. I was reading the roster off KPFTX and you're not there. We have to fix that. Okay. Eric C. Jacobson?
Pass.
Avelia Jones?
Yes.
Ali Alexa?
Yes.
Rob Macon?
Yes.
Barbara Marbach is absent, an excused absence. I'll pass myself for a moment. Oye?
Yes.
Myla?
Yes.
Lawrence Reyes?
No.
Ziri Rideau?
No.
Paul Roberson? Paul, do you have to unmute yourself? Are you still there? Paul Roberson? Welcome back to Moscow. Ulloa?
No.
Polina Vasiliev?
No.
I vote yes. Sorry about that.
So that was Paul? Okay, thank you. Polina voted no. Elizabeth Van Gunten?
Yes.
So I have to scroll down the screen here. Harvey Wasserman?
Yes.
Carlos Zavala?
Affirmative.
That's yes. The chair votes no. Let me count here for a minute. I'm sorry, Eric Jacobson. Yes, I see you were going to pass. Eric, how do you vote?
I'll vote no.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. All right, I have 13 yes and 7 no.
I have
14, let me count again. 1, 2. Oh, yeah, that's Fred. That's right. 14, yes, that's right. 14, yes, and 7. I'm going to start off to the side because I copied the list out. Okay, so the motion, the amendment is adopted. We'll go to the main motion. In that case, would be to establish a to establish a GM search committee of 7 members elected by SDV balloting. Is there any objection to that motion as amended? Let me come back to my Zoom screen. I'm sorry. Okay, hearing none. Is that correct?
Chair, excuse me. Is this the point where I again need clarification? When will the part about the chair appointing tellers?
Okay, I'll read that motion and then we can take it. So I heard no objection to the motion to establish a GM search committee, and I'll read the STV motion in a moment. Or maybe I see that. Terry Goodman's on the call. Terry, would you mind reading that motion if you have it in front of you?
Point of information, Mr.
Go ahead. Yeah, what's your question?
Are these two separate motions or are they combined?
I think we just decided to establish the committee by STV election, and now we have to define how that process will take place. I heard no objection. Is that correct? There was no objection to the motion to create a general manager search committee elected by STV ballot of 7 members.
Mr. Chair, this is Bella DeSoto. May I be recognized?
Bella. Yes.
Can you stop this member every second interrupting?
Okay.
The clock is running out. Thank you.
Thank you. Fine. Okay, I heard no objection, so that motion has passed. Now we're going to look at the motion. What is it, Myla?
Can you please read the motion? Because it's still not clear to me whether there is a provision in that motion for the chair to oppose.
Yes, we're about to get to that second motion, Myla, to be clear. I'll read it one more time. We adopted the following motion. The LSB will establish a GM search committee of 7 members elected by an STV ballot to conduct the search. That's what we've passed. We're now going to move on to the motion for the enabling motion. I'll read it. It cites the bylaws provision that allows us to do this. Resolve that a general manager search committee of 7 members has to be amended based on what just passed. So I'm going to change that because we went with the language from the personnel committee. Resolve that a general manager search committee of 7 members shall be elected using the single transferable voting method via electronic mail under previous authorizations for electronic communications, with Terry L. Goodman serving as chair of tellers and John P. Gary III serving as teller. And it cites the PMB search policy, policy of search committees. Nominations shall be made at the LSB meeting of March 20th, 2022, and candidates shall have a brief opportunity to express their qualifications and their approach to and priorities for the selection process, for the search process, really. Nominations to positions on the committee shall open immediately after approval of this motion and close before consideration of the next item of business. Further resolved that all currently serving KPFK delegates are authorized to vote and will be sent voting instructions via email on or about March 21st, 2022, and that the polls shall close on Friday, March 25th at midnight Pacific Daylight Time. The chair of tellers will distribute preliminary tally results to all voters soon after the tellers agree on those results. Further resolved that the local station board will meet in a continuation meeting on Sunday, March 27th at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time, which meeting shall be publicly noticed if practicable to receive and ratify the results of the elections. Ties, if any, may be resolved at this meeting prior to ratification using virtual flipped coins via a certain website. The first member of the committee to be declared elected shall be the first meeting convener, the committee may subsequently elect its own chair. All business of this committee shall be conducted consistent with Pacifica personnel policies, including but not limited to issues of applicant privacy and equal employment opportunity. If for some reason Terry Goodman or John Gary are unwilling or unable to conduct these elections, this is the point under contention, the LSB chair is authorized to designate other neutral persons to do so. If quorum is not met by the close of polls, the chair of tellers is authorized to reopen the polls and declare a new deadline. To facilitate these elections, soon after the adoption of this motion, the LSB secretary shall send to both tellers the roster of current LSB members with email addresses, the names of the nominated candidates, and the exact text of this motion as finally adopted. So that's that was presented by the governance committee.
May I be recognized, Mr.
Yes, Myla, go ahead.
I'd like to just offer a simple amendment that instead of naming the tellers, that we say that the tellers will be agreed upon by the local station board.
Mr. Chair, may I be recognized?
I second that.
Okay, well, let me, if we can avoid this, I know that John Gary is available, but not on the call today, but he is available to be the teller. Terry Goodman, you're here on the call. Are you available to be the teller? Okay, in that case, I'd like to make the motion just be to strike the if for some reason unwilling or unable, the chair shall do so. That sentence, just strike that sentence from the motion, since they both are able and willing to do so.
Michael, if that's a motion, I'll second it.
I second it.
Okay. Is there any objection to striking that sentence entirely from the motion, since we are selecting them by naming them in the motion? Okay. Hearing no objection, we'll strike that sentence. Is there any discussion of the general procedure? It's basically the same procedure we have carried out on multiple previous STV elections for PMB directors and for members of board committees and a lot of other things.
Mr. Chair, this is Bella DeSoto. Yes, may
go ahead, Bella. Yes, although Bella, I would prefer if you use the hand raise function, but go ahead.
Okay, I have been doing that, but in this moment, this is urgent.
Go ahead.
Can you please check to see if the secretary is in the meeting?
Thank you. Ralph Hawkins, are you with us? You have to unmute. Ralph?
This is Alan Beek. I must leave the meeting now.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, you have to leave. Ralph Hawkins, going once.
I'm here.
Okay, Ralph, we did a roll call in your absence, and I'll give you the tally later, but please keep track of the proceedings now. Thank you. We just struck from the proposed motion. There was an amendment. I forget who offered it. I think that was Paulina, and somebody seconded to strike the sentence about, I think Ali seconded. If for some reason that Terry Goodman or John Gary are unwilling, the chair will appoint, designate other neutral parties. We just struck that sentence since they're both here and willing and they're being named by the body. So I was asking to see if there's any objection to the motion as a whole to use that procedure. Okay, hearing none, that motion is adopted. We're going to go on to the third item of business, which is the Governance Committee motion regarding the Spanish language programming. And let me read that. That's also in the agenda.
Chair, request for information, Lawrence.
Yes, what's your question, Lawrence?
I think the motion states that we have to take nominations for that
committee. That's right. Before we go, that's right. You're correct. I'm sorry. My bad. Having adopted the motion, we have to enact the motion, which is to say we are going to open nominations for the GM search committee. So you can self-nominate or you can nominate someone else. And if someone else nominates you, you have to agree to serve. As Beth pointed out, it is a substantial responsibility. It's one of the most important responsibilities the LSP has. And it is quite time consuming. So, Scott, I see hands up before you, Bella. Please try to use your hand function and not call out Bella. Thank you. Oscar Ulloa, followed by Ali Alexa and Bella De Soto.
Well, I'd like to nominate myself to serve on that committee. That's the right time.
Okay, thank you. Ali?
Can I make multiple nominations at once?
Go ahead.
I'd like to nominate Evelia Jones. I'd like to nominate Beth Van Gunten. I'd like to nominate Christina Avalos. And I'd like to nominate Myla Raisin.
Okay, Avelia, do you accept that nomination? Avelia, if you're muted, I can't.
I'm sorry, I just had an immediate stomach pain. Excuse me. All right. okay, I'll accept for the moment. Right now, yes. Okay.
Okay. Beth, do you accept the nomination?
I do.
Beth Van Gunten?
I do.
Okay, thank you. Christina? You have to unmute.
Okay, yes.
Okay, thank you. Myla?
Yes, I accept the nomination.
Okay, thank you. Bella De Soto?
I self-nominate myself. Bella.
Okay. Thank you, Bella. Grace Aaron, you have to unmute.
Yes, I'd like to nominate myself, Fred Blair, and Ziri Rideau.
Okay, thank you. Fred, do you accept that nomination?
Oh, and also Eric Jacobson. Sorry.
Okay, Fred, you accept nomination?
No, I don't.
All right. Ziri? Ziri Rideau, you have to unmute yourself. All right, we'll come back to her. She's not visible on the screen. Eric, do you accept the nomination to the search committee?
I reluctantly decline. I have just too many other tasks, but thank you for the nomination.
All right. I'm going to nominate myself.
Chair, this is Lawrence. I'd like...
Yes, go ahead, Lawrence.
Yes, I'd like to nominate Paulina Vasilia, and I also like to self-nominate myself.
Okay, Paulina, do you accept that nomination?
Yes.
Okay, I currently have as nominees, just in the order they were nominated and accepted, Oscar, Avelia, Beth, Christina, Myla, Bella, Grace, Ziri, Michael Novick, Paulina, and Lawrence. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. If we have agreed. Yes?
Ziri hasn't accepted or declined.
That's right.
I was just right. Going to say that.
Thank you. I'll ask her again to unmute. Ziri Rideau, are you with us? I was just going to point out that if we had set a committee of 11, we wouldn't have had to have an election. But that's life. Ziri Rideau, can you unmute yourself? Okay, I'm going to say we need to move on. We'll come back to this before the end of the meeting, but we'll put her on the list of those nominated with a question mark as to whether she'll be on the ballot based on whether she accepts or not. And
Chair, can you reread the list of nominees?
Yes, Oscar, Evelia, this is not alphabetical, it's how they were just nominated. Oscar, Evelia, Beth, Christina, Myla, Bella, Grace, possibly Ziri, myself, Paulina, and Lawrence. Does anybody else want to self-nominate or nominate someone else to see if they accept?
Yes, Michael.
Paul, yes, Roberson. Grace.
Paul Roberson.
Paul, you willing to serve on the GM search committee? Paul, you need to unmute.
Sorry about that. I was driving. No, I've done this before, and I don't want that. No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to ask Oyeyipo if he's interested in serving on that committee. He's one of the newly elected members of the board in the last election and did not have any opportunity to be involved in the prior search. That's why I'm interested in. Oyeyipo, can you unmute?
Yes, I'll have to decline.
Okay. All right.
Particularly pleased with the way the last general manager resigned.
Okay, thank you. All right.
We're leaving to general. What does that have to do with anything?
Please don't talk out of turn.
Chair, may I briefly say something? Andrew Weiss wrote in the chat, is this committee open to non-LSP members like listeners?
Yes, it is. I'm sorry, I didn't make that clear. I should have clarified that. That is in the PME policy. It says when we talk about the 7 to 11 members, let me go back to the PNB. This is from the PME policy. Where an LSP creates a search subcommittee, the LSP shall specify in the motion which creates it which of the procedures intends to delegate. Such a subcommittee shall include a minimum of 7 and a maximum of 11 members consisting of LSP members, including paid and unpaid staff members, and may also include non-LSP listener members and non-LSP staff members. Names, email addresses, and phone numbers of all subcommittee members shall be sent to the national office. And if there are members of the public that want to self-nominate, or if a member of the board wants to nominate someone who's a member but not a board member, those would also be in order.
May I be recognized, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mr. Goldstone?
Yes, I should like to serve.
Okay, thank you.
This is Ruth Strauss, also to the staff.
Yes, Ruth, is that you want to self-nominate or nominate someone else?
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Were you self-nominating?
I would like to self-nominate.
Okay, thank you. Okay, in addition, I know there are some staff members on this call who are not. I saw Angel Armillo earlier, for example, or anybody else who is on the staff might be interested.
Mr. Chair, Bella DeSoto, I have my hand up.
Okay, go ahead, Bella. Yes, go ahead, Bella. Thank you.
Yes, I would like to nominate Angel Armillo. He also ran for the board,
He is a volunteer of staff with the Spanish language programming. And I wanted to, I sent a text to Ziri. There has been no response from her. And I would like to also nominate Andrew Weiss if he wishes to be nominated.
Chair, this is Lawrence. I understand that Mr. Jacobson's hand is up before mine. But I see Terry's hand up, and I'm just
wondering. Okay, sure. Yeah, go ahead, Terry. You have to unmute. You have to unmute yourself, though, Terry. There you go. We should be able to hear you now. Terry? Nope, we still don't hear you. I don't know why. Check your audio settings. Go put it in the chat.
Mr. Chair, may I be recognized?
Yes, Mr. Tatum, go ahead.
Yes. Three very quick points. Number one, there are still too many interruptions without people saying, may I be recognized? That's number one.
Thank you.
We'll continue that process. It was working fine in the meeting so far. It's been working just well when you do that. May I be recognized? Second point, Mr. Chair, you do not have to take up a position on this committee because the chair is automatically an ex officio member of all committees except for the nominating committee when you're nominating officers of the LSC. So you're automatically on the committee. You are may attend meetings. You may vote, make motions, et cetera, but you're not counted in the quorum. So therefore, you should not take up a seat on this committee. And the third and final point, I wanted permission to ask Terry Goodman this question. I saw in the motion that was just passed that it says that you would have to reopen the polls if you didn't get a quorum. Now, with electronic voting, et cetera, there is a possibility that the quorum won't be needed at all. And so I wanted to ask Terry Goodman about that, that you really don't need a quorum, because if you ask for a quorum, you are actually forcing people to abstain so that you can get a proper count. So is that necessary to have a quorum?
I'll answer. We want to, because it's STV voting, we want to try to make sure that it's an accurate representation of the will of the entire body. I'm sorry. Please mute yourself if you're not speaking. As far as the chair running, I did serve on the previous GM Search Committee and in fact chaired it, and I want to be on there and able to vote on the process. So that's why I put my name forward. The ex officio, I don't think will work in this case, again, because it's an elected committee. The point being to represent the diversity of opinion and makeup of the board as a whole.
Mr. Chairman,
hang on a second. Terry Goodman raised a question. He said, he heard Eric was nominated, but Eric declined. Go ahead, Raymond.
Yes, one of the nominees has not responded.
Yes, I realize that. I was about two of the nominees actually haven't responded. Ziri, I'm not sure if Ziri is Ziri on the call?
Yes, I am on the call. Sorry.
Ziri, you were nominated for the search. You were nominated for the GM search committee. Are you willing to serve if elected?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And all right, so go ahead. So
Lawrence also did get nominated, right?
Yes, I'll repeat the nominees in a minute when we finish the process. We're still taking nominations, possibly of non-LSB members. Beth has a hand up, and then Christina. Go ahead, Beth.
With a question. So if we've limited the committee to seven people, we did that before. I was aware that nominations would be opened to the general public. Does that mean that these members of the general public, members elected from the general public, will be in addition to those seven, or they will displace elected members of the LSB?
on that committee?
They would be among the seven. It's all in the same paragraph. It's I'll read it again. Such a subcommittee shall include a minimum of seven and a maximum of 11 members, consisting of LSB members, including paid and unpaid staff members, and may also include non-LSB listener members and non-LSB staff members. So we set we set seven, and that would include whoever we elect from among the pool available of nominees.
So in theory, then, the entire GM search committee could, if the elections turned out that way, consist of only members of the public? There would be nothing to prevent that? Displacing all elected LSB members, is that true?
I don't think that's possible based on the language. Just so it shall include 7 to 11 consisting of LSB members, including paid and unpaid staff members, and may also include non-LSB members. So there must be at least some LSB members who are paid and unpaid staff on the committee. But they're only being elected. But the only people who are voting, are the LSB members. There's an election conducted among the LSB. The 24 LSB members will vote on who to include on the committee.
So no language in there to stipulate that at least that a listener representative on the LSB must be included in this committee. There's only stipulation that paid and unpaid staff reps be included. What if members of the general public just outpoll all the elected members of the LSB?
Mr. Chair?
And that's the will of the body. I don't know what to say about it. We had a proposal for 11 based on, as it said, in the enabling legislation, including non-members. But we have what we have at the moment.
Mr. Chair, Bella, this I'm sorry.
No, Bella, there's a long list before you of people who want to speak and have had that for a long time.
I have a point of order.
Yeah. A point of order?
Yes, sir.
What is it?
So the point of order, I believe Mr. Tatum may not be completely correct, because there is nothing in the bylaws that say other speed committees have to follow the same special rules that the PNB follows in regards to officers of the PNB becoming automatic members of certain committees. I don't think that applies to the LSB.
Okay, thank you. Regardless of what he said, I was maintaining my candidacy for the committee as an individual. I have Myla, Eric, Ali, Christina, and Bella. Myla, you have to unmute.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, I'll put my hand down right now.
Okay, thank you. Eric?
Yes, a couple of points. First, I think we should limit the number of non-LSB members to three, with the majority on this personnel committee being LSB members. The way I heard the language, that it may include non-LSB members, I think that's consistent with that. And we need to try to respect the structure of governance whereby LSB members run for their position, the listeners elect them, and then they're empowered to take responsibility for stewardship of the organization at the local or PNB level. And we've gotten away from that. And so this is a small step back toward accountability for LSB members. I propose a majority be comprised of LSB members. I'd also like to nominate Alan Beek, who is always attentive to LSB matters, despite his being hard of hearing. And I'd also like, if he's willing to accept, I don't know how we can reach him. Maybe somebody can text him, or I can. And also I'd like to nominate Stuart Landau, if he's eligible to be on this committee.
Not eligible.
No, not eligible.
He's a member of the public, is he not?
No,
but he's also a manager at the station.
He's the manager of the station, and he's currently serving as the general manager. It's not appropriate to be on the search committee.
I guess I should qualify it. If he's not intending to be a candidate, but if he is intending to be a candidate, then I was shocked. That's all.
Yeah, it's still not appropriate. He's a member of the management of the station and can't participate in a governance committee. Sorry, I'm losing track. Milo, your head is back up, so you're back on the stack, but later on. Ali, Lexa, Christina, Bella, and then Milo. And let's try to wrap this up, please.
I have a point and a nomination.
Okay.
I believe there's a requirement of a minimum of 2 LSB members on all committees.
Yes, there is.
But I do support the notion that it should be a LSB majority on the committee. I'd also like to nominate a member of the public, Mansoor Sabah.
Is Mansoor available to accept that nomination?
I don't know.
Apparently not. If you can check with him before close the business or before we resolve this, that would be good. I also didn't hear from Angel. Is Angel Jaramillo still on the call? Apparently not.
Mr. Chair?
Bella?
Mr. Chair, Bella DeSoto, regarding that, may I be recognized?
Yes, go ahead, Bella.
I just sent him the text that I nominated him. I'm waiting for a response.
Okay, thank you.
Jonathan Markowitz.
We're not taking public comment right now because we're still dealing with nominations. Nominate yourself?
I'd like to nominate Marisol Cruz beyond the GM search committee.
Okay, I'll try to text her and see if we can reach her, but she left the call.
Thank you. Request for information?
Yes, Lawrence.
Can somebody be nominated in absentia? Because there's already 2 nominees and they're not present to indicate their interest.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. I asked if people can check with the people who are nominated or not present and find out if they're willing to serve. So that's what we're doing. Christina.
I received a text. Mansoor says, yes, please add my name.
Okay. Can someone try to reach Alan Beek? And, okay, so next one up, I think, is Bella, then Myla, and then Beth has her hand up again. Bella?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. I want to say from the top that Mansoor Sabah is one of those...
I'm sorry, please, we're not taking comments about other nominees at this point. You're only making nominations.
Okay, but he was a former member of the Personnel Committee, and he did not attend.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I wanted to speak to the fact that if these people cannot confirm within... our time here today.
Yes, we understand that, Bella. That's what I said.
Okay, but Mr. Andrew Weiss wanted to speak, and I believe he accepted. Or maybe, yeah, he said, thanks, Bella, in the chat. I'm not sure if that means accepting or not.
It doesn't.
Okay, Andrew.
Andrew Weiss, yes, I said in the chat I accept. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Milo, I think you're next. And then Beth had her hand up before. I can't find her. Yeah, okay, Milo, anything?
I was going to say what Christina just said, that
okay.
I also saw Mansoor Sabah's acceptance.
Okay, thank you. Beth?
Yes, I think that if there are stipulations that both paid and unpaid staff must be represented, on this from the LSB, then we need to stipulate that there be at least one listener member representative from the LSB also, because otherwise the entire committee could be elected without representation from the represented delegates representing listeners, and that doesn't seem right.
Okay, so let me ask if there's agreement that the majority of the committee must be LSB members and that both listener members and staff members from the LSB must be on the committee. Is that everybody's general understanding? Yeah, everybody clear what I'm asking? Go ahead.
Yeah, I seek recognition. I see that Ziri has a hand up, and maybe you could go back to Terry to see if he's on.
Okay. Ziri, go ahead. Did you have...
Yeah, so Marisol just texted me that she's going to call in and that she would accept the nomination.
Thank you. Perfect. Okay. So again, my understanding is that we're operating on the basis that the majority of the committee, in any event, will be LSB members. There will be both listener and staff representation from the LSB and potentially from among the public members. And again, people can, you know, decide who to vote for among the people being offered after that. Terry, did you want to say anything?
Okay, there you go.
My screen keeps jumping around. Terry disappeared, but I assume he's still on the call. Terry Goodman, did you want to say something?
Hello?
I think he did. He has no sound. All right. So I'm going to reread the list of who I have has been nominated. I have Oscar, Adelia, Beth, Christina, Myla, Bella, Grace, Ziri, Michael Novick, Marisol Cruz, Paulina Vasiliev, Lawrence Reyes, and then from the public, Alan Beek, but we haven't heard back from Alan yet. Andrew Weiss, Raymond Goldstone, Ruth Strauss, Angel Jaramillo, and Mansoor Sabah.
Angel is staff, volunteer staff.
Yes, public. They're public nominees are not on the local station board. They're either listeners or staff.
Oh, well, I thought you were doing, okay.
No, I read all, without regard to whether the listeners or staff, I read all the LSB nominees and then all the public nominees.
Okay.
Let me repeat it. Mr. Chair?
Yes, go ahead, Raymond.
I don't think Mr. Armillo has assented to serve.
Did you hear back from Angel, Bella?
I'm looking right now, and I don't have I'm going to give him a ring right now. Call him instead.
Chair, this is Lawrence.
Yes, go ahead, Lawrence.
Can we move the agenda forward, please?
Yes, I would like to. What I was going to say is that before the ballot is prepared, we will have checked with anybody who was nominated to see if they're willing to serve. If we don't hear back from them by that point, they have been nominated and they might not be in the ballot if they don't agree to serve. That would include Alan Beek at this point and Angel Jaramillo.
Chair, I believe Marisol is on the call if she wants to confirm her candidacy.
Yes, she did it already. Marisol, are you back?
Manager para la estación.
Yes, Mr. Chair, briefly, I just became aware that I've been nominated and I'm here to accept the nomination.
Great. Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah, that was reported to us. So again, I have Oscar, Adelia, Beth, Christina, Myla, Bella, Grace, Ziri, myself, Paulina, Lawrence, and Marisol. And then Alan Beek has been nominated, but we don't know if he's willing to accept. I have Andrew Weiss, Raymond Goldstone, Ruth Strauss, Angel Jaramillo, and Mansoor Sabah nominated from non-LSB members, and we don't know yet about Angel Jaramillo. My suggestion on the procedure is that we move on and before the ballots are developed by the tellers, we'll have to verify with Angel, with Alan, as to whether they're willing to accept and serve. And Marisol, since you are back on the call and you're vice chair, I need to take a moment to get off this call. So the next item of business on our agenda is the Governance Committee motion on the Spanish language programming. So let me read that, and then if you can keep track of the stack, that would be helpful for a minute or two. Many different places. Sorry,
Mr. Chair, I have to go back. I just came for the nomination.
Angel confirmed.
Okay, thank you. All right, give me a minute. I need a pause for personal necessity, and we'll resume in a second. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Okay.
Madam Chair.
Raymond Goldstone, the chair is not here at this time. I think we're just having a brief intermission and no business will be conducted right now.
Ms. Cruz is not available?
No, she had to leave.
I see. May I ask a question of the parliamentarian?
No, not at this time.
Who said no?
Bella DeSoto, Raymond.
On what grounds?
Mr. Goldstone, this is Lawrence Reyes. Public comment is coming up next, so I think if you could hold your fire.
I just want to ask a parliamentary question about...
Go ahead, Raymond.
Thank you. I find it perfectly reasonable, the changes made with regard to LSV members and staff and the like. On a parliamentary basis, is that just understood, or do we have to do something so that we assure ourselves that that will occur? Because I think it's perfectly appropriate.
Yeah, as I read the language of the PNB motion that authorizes this process, it more or less makes it clear that there are supposed to be both LSB listener members and LSB staff members on the committee, and that's basically what we're saying. And go ahead.
As I understand it, Beth and others wanted it stipulated there would be a majority of LSB members amongst the 11. And
it's only seven. It's only seven. We limited the membership to seven.
Yes, I misspoke. And perhaps I misunderstood that, but that she wanted a majority being LSB members and that both listeners and staff would have at least one representative.
Yeah, as I say, the voting, the pool of voters is entirely composed of LSB members. I think the likelihood is that the majority of the committee will be LSB members just based on that reality. So I would like to move ahead. We have the second motion from governance. I'm trying to find. Okay, so we'll take public comment after this, but we have the additional governance motion, which reads as follows. The LSB supports the Spanish language programmers' efforts to fundraise the community events outside of on-air fund drives, as they have done successfully in the past. The LSB urges the new acting general manager to support this with on-air promotion of such community events by the Spanish language programmers to fundraise for the benefit of KPFK. So I emphasize in terms of your earlier question, Mr. Goldstone, that this would be fundraising exclusively for KPFK.
Bella DeSoto, I would like to motivate the motion.
Okay, thank you, Bella. Go ahead.
Since I introduced the motion,
can you time frame, please, Michael? Is it 15?
Well, yes, we had time frame really goes by the boards. We have 10 minutes for this additional motion and the CAB report. And the CAB report, maybe I should do the CAB report first. What I said it earlier, we're basically in the process of trying to generate a CAB. We're going to move to do it next month because we need additional time. And we did ask the management to make sure that we broadcast the cart that's been developed to solicit members of the CAB from our listening audience. So next month we'll be coming to you with a proposal for the bylaws for the CAB and a pool of candidates to serve on the CAB. And that's the extent of the report. So we have 10 minutes for the rest of this to discuss that motion that was just read. Go ahead, Bella.
Okay. Am I recognized, Mr. Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. This is the second portion of that motion that was introduced at governance last Wednesday. It was divided, but it was originally
just
one
make it
motion.
As an amendment, Bella.
The amendment is that the Spanish language programmers are demanding that there would be no third party answering the phones from the callers, the donors, in Spanish, in English, that they want to have their own telephone people answering
please,
the calls.
Yes, please read the language. Read
yes.
the language.
I thought you were about to read the language, but you stopped.
No.
Okay, let me find it, please. I am at a disadvantage. I thought that you were going to. Okay, I have it. You read the first part that was passed. But then the second part is not here. Okay. And what it is exactly what I just said, that there will be no third party answering the phones during set scheduled time for Spanish language programming, because they need to do what they have always done, is have their own people answer the phones so that they don't disenfranchise their listeners and donors. And this is funds that the station is losing because they get discouraged. The phone calls are not answered in Spanish by the third party, and this is affecting us. And then we are claiming that the Spanish language programmers are not raising funds. Again, we should not be equating them with every other program on the station, as this is mandatory to represent this large community. And I wanted to address Mr. Goldstone's question earlier, which was not addressed. The Spanish language programmers have never, ever taken a cent, not a red cent from the station, any resources. Everything they do is among ourselves from the community, and we bring the funds to the station. That's how
okay,
it has been done, and that is how it will continue being done. The issue here is that there should be no third party answering the phone calls when the callers are in Spanish. Thank
Chair,
you.
This is Lawrence, seek recognition for the amendment.
Yes, go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you, Chair. So I'd like to amend, instead of third party, that it be, in addition to third party, that it be any answering service that also answers English speaking calls. So I think the Spanish language community and the Spanish language programmers, they have the infrastructure and the volunteer structure to answer their own phone. So my amendment is that in addition to third party, any core service that the station is contracted with or like other stations are also be included in this amended motion.
Mr. Chair.
Okay, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Let me just, since I found the language, Bella, I'm going to read it to everybody and explain what third party means. Be resolved, the LSB.
I have joined the meeting.
Okay, thank you, Alan.
I've been nominated. I accept the nomination.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we'll take note of that. The nominees will be reported to the tellers, and you'll be getting ballots. The amendment, which was not read by Bella, reads as follows. Be it further resolved, the LSB supports the Spanish language programmer's request that no third party answer our calls, their calls during the scheduled on-air fund drives. Rather, they will provide Spanish-speaking people to handle the calls as of the past. So no third party means nobody from the staff and nobody from the call service, Lawrence. It covers what you're asking about. So we'll take discussion about the amendment.
There's that.
Okay, discussion first would be from board members. Hang on a second. Are there board members that wish to speak to the amendment?
Paulina?
Go ahead, Paulina.
I don't understand that amendment.
Okay, I'm sorry, Alan. There's a motion from the Governance Committee regarding Spanish language programming. The LSB supports the Spanish language programmers' efforts to fundraise at community events outside of on-air fund drives and urges the management to support this with on-air promotion of such community events by the Spanish language programmers to raise funds for the benefit of KPFK. The amendment is to add a second clause to that to support the Spanish language programmers' request that they would field their own calls during fund drives with Spanish-speaking individuals from among their ranks to take the calls from the Spanish-speaking audience. Go ahead, Paulina.
I'd like to speak in support of the amendment as a member of the Spanish language programming collective. I can testify to the fact that ever since, because of the pandemic, the phone room was closed and we resorted to a call center, even though the call center claims to have capacity to answer calls in Spanish. It really has not been that friendly, of an experience for listeners, as I've heard from many of them. They're often long time waiting, and then the agents there don't really know anything about programming or the kind of things that are being offered. The experience of being a donor and being able to actually interact with programmers and members, volunteers, members of the collectives that produce the programming is very important. So I'm definitely, I would vote for that amendment and would urge others to do so as well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let me ask, is there any opposition? Thank you.
My hand is raised, Michael. This is Eric.
My hand
okay.
Up for a long time, too.
All right, thank you. I'm sorry. I was trying to.
My hand is raised, Michael.
Okay, all right, got it. I'm sorry. Let me come back to that screen. A lot of things I'm trying to do at once. Okay, I'm not sure what order, but is this in opposition, Ali?
Sort of in clarification.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, just like to point out that, since COVID, we have shut down the phone room. And also, we had our phone system switched over by the previous GM, and it's still not up and fully functioning. Regarding the call center, the problem with the call center is not unique to Spanish. We have the same issue with English speaking, where people are on hold for a long time. They get disconnected. The answerers don't have all the details about the show or the premium. It's unfortunate, but I think the problem is really in the call center, not in their capability to answer in Spanish, because we are paying an extra price for them to have Spanish answerers during those blocks. Definitely we need to have people able to speak Spanish answering the calls. We do have the facility now to set up about 4 phones at the station to take calls. And during this last drive, Terry and members of the membership committee and 1 or 2 volunteers came in to answer calls live. So I believe that we could probably set that up during the Spanish block to have their own answers come in. And we have it set up in the news department room where they can take calls. So the capability is there to take maybe 3 or 4 people could come in and answer calls along with the call center that could handle any overflows. And once again, I agree with Paulina, but it's not just the Spanish language. It's a failure of the call center that we're using. And I believe we're losing money, not only during Spanish, but also English speaking shows due to the inefficiency of the call service that we use.
All right, thanks. So I'm not aware of the order, but I'll just take them as I see them. Eric?
Could you add?
Go ahead. Who was trying to be added?
Fred.
Just go ahead, Eric. Okay. Thank you, Fred.
I think this might be a friendly amendment. I'm not sure. Bella can tell me. But what's contemplated sounded good, what Ali just said. But what if there is a flood of calls? Wouldn't we rather have someone be transferred to the call center rather than you know, not have anybody pick up at the station. So if we could have just amended to allow overflows to go to the call center, I think that would be within the spirit of what Bella is talking about. Because also, we can't entirely guarantee there'll be volunteer phone answerers, or can we? I mean, it seems almost impossible. So that, I'd like to modify it so that the overflow can go to the call center.
All right, thank you.
I would second that.
I'm sorry. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to take that. I'm sorry. We've reached the maximum of what we need as far as motions. So at this point, there's an amendment to the amendment, and that's what's on the floor to allow any overflow to go to the call service.
Amanda, floor chair.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if there's any objection to that amendment that we would support the Spanish language. Let me finish speaking, please, everyone. I'm trying to clarify what's on the floor for everybody. There's an amendment to the amendment to allow, you know, to support the Spanish language program's request to answer their own calls, with the exception that if there's an overflow, it would go to the call center. That's the amendment, is to allow the overflow.
Michael, this is Eric. There's another dimension to it. What if the volunteer phone answers don't show up, and then also the call center, we'd rather
it
have
okay,
sorry, excuse me, Eric, the Spanish language program has made very clear that they're going to provide the staff to answer the phones. They
all
want
right.
to do it, they're willing to do it. That's not the issue. The only issue is the question you raised of overflow. That's what we're talking about.
Mr. Right, Chair, this is Bella DeSanto.
Yeah,
I'd like to be recognized.
Yeah.
I'm next after Eric.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yes, go ahead, Lawrence, because you've spoken several times already, Bella.
The call center is very expensive. It's 99 cents a minute to feel or call in the first minute. The Spanish language program is, I've been to many community events that the Spanish language programming association has put on, and they have brought money into the station. The community events were very well supported. The Spanish language programming infrastructure, it reflects the local flavor of volunteers and stuff like that. And there's a partial reopening already, as my colleague Ali Lessa stated. The Spanish language program is, I don't think I'm going to have any problem providing the appropriate amount of volunteers. The overflow concerns me, but we don't have anything else. But if they're supposed to be bilingual, I'm a sustaining donor, and I have been kept on hold forever. They don't know what's going on the air. It's a problem. So
okay, thank you.
That's one of the reasons I support the motion from the Spanish language programmers.
Okay, so I see Oscar has a hand up, hasn't spoken in a while. Go ahead, Oscar.
Mr. Chair, Oscar Ulloa. I actually am really happy with the response of these things. I completely agree with Mr. Lexa. If we have a technical capability, we should do it that way on the phone room. And remember, we're speaking about the Spanish programming block from 8 p.m. at night to midnight from Monday to Thursday. We are able, and we've done it in the past. I even also want to publicly commend Mr. Mansour Sabas. With at that point, he was a really, really somebody who was there also in these efforts. So we're definitely talking, and hopefully we can focus that this is just in particular or especially for the Spanish programming. And also, I do agree for those who have the concern that they think that we're talking about the whole enchilada here. I do agree with Mr. Jacobson that whatever overflow goes, it will need to have especially for English listener donors. Of course, with that unfortunately, we're never going to have full membership group volunteer. That definitely will be an option. But I want to clarify that this is a request because we saw the unfortunately situation that was happening. And also, I want to clarify, or just to put out, why is the reason that we're trying to get the support from this and officially, and I'm sad to say that just because our own experiences, there was a point when management, we consider the management was against. We trying to develop all these instances of fundraiser, especially public. We were able to pretty much, at some point, we do it almost like outlaw. We do it under our own means because we didn't have, for different reasons, support for management. And we at least like to have a voice in what that decision from management could be
okay.
in the future.
Chair, we are
at time. Yeah, we're at time. So we're going to move to a vote on this. Do we have to vote on the amendment to the amendment?
Yes.
The amendment to, I'm sorry, Stu, we're not taking public comment at the moment. We have to get
take public comment, Mr. Chair, before we vote.
Okay.
I managed the phone room for many years for the Spanish speakers, and they're culturally a little different. They depend on direct contact with each other, and they always have lots more volunteers than they need. They have their own community that they bring in, which is a good thing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sue.
Okay, so I'm going to ask if there's any objection to the amendment that in case of overflow, it would be okay to go to, because I heard Oscar saying that was okay with him. And
Mr. Chair, Bella DeSoto opposes that amendment.
Okay,
amendment.
All right, thank you.
Chair, we always throw the public comment.
Okay, yes, all right. We'll take additional. Is there additional public comment on this topic, please? Okay, I see some hands up. There's somebody on the phone that I don't know. I have Margo Iser.
Chair, I have a point of information about the phone service.
Yes, what is it?
Just let it be known that, yes, we do have to pay a fee for the phone service. However, we only pay it while the phone service is being used. So having it there as a backup costs us nothing unless they actually take a call. So there's no danger or expense in having it running in the background. If no calls are taken to it, we don't pay them anything.
Thank you.
If we have people there to answer the phones, we're good.
Thank you.
Nothing wrong with Eric's suggestion.
All right, thanks. So I see Margo Iser. There's somebody on the phone who's had their hand up for a long time, but I don't know who they are. And then Raymond Goldstone.
Hi, okay, this is Margo. Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Yes, we hear you. Go ahead.
I will combine my comments because I've written them down. It will be slow. Margo Iser, longtime listener, sponsor, member, volunteer. First, I am surprised that people have to be voted on to be on a committee. Because in other groups, people are welcome to volunteer, work hard, and are greatly appreciated. To volunteer is a key word. Next, it is imperative that for accessibility, efficiency, and convenience, it must be required that the new KPFK general manager lives in the LA/Southern California area. Set also need to actively connect with people in these areas who receive the signal by having outreach and fundraising events in each one, which will help get representatives from these areas to participate in committees and be on the CAB, etc. And then it is really vitally important that programs not be judged by how much money they raise, especially during the unfund drives, because many of them don't have a lot of time on the air, and so, or they represent communities such as the Flash speakers and others, and thus need to have sufficient airtime to conform to the mission statement and the CPB requirements. That is why I do support a program schedule like the one presented by Bella, so that really important programs have enough time to discuss very pertinent topics and always be aired, because like today, with no explanation, there was no half hour of anti-war radio, and Chris Hedges only had a half an hour and had to be cut off his interview with a very pertinent and interesting guest, though Susie Weissman has a whole hour and a few others have several times hours a week. So this is why I think we need to really revise this. But those are my general comments of why I am listening to this meeting, because I really care a lot about KPFK, and I think there are ways that we can reach people. Keep the money
right, coming
in.
Okay? Thank you.
And with a question, Mark.
Yeah, there's someone who's on the phone who's had a hand up for a long time, and I don't know what your phone number is, so but if you're a listener who's been trying to speak and you have your hand up, go ahead and speak on the telephone.
It's not on this topic.
Well, once you go to a public comment, people speak on whatever they want, so go ahead.
Great, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I wanted to raise a few thousand things.
Can you speak up? Can you speak up?
Bella, quiet.
We cannot hear. I cannot hear.
Yeah, if you stop speaking, we could hear her. Please be quiet, Bella.
With regard to the community advisory board, the community advisory board in New York is essentially a group of people who got together to help mail out premiums, and we had a horrible backload. There are many of them very nice people. They're not at all representative of the area as a former attorney and current National Board Treasurer claimed in a motion that he pushed through locally. They're not at all representative of the New York City area. Very nice people, though. You show up at three or four meetings and you become a member of the CAB. That's not how a CAB is created. With regard to Berkeley, I understand they're trying to resurrect their CAB. And yesterday, without any cards having been played, based on the recommendation of people on the LSB and others and people who self-nominated, somehow learning of the process, they actually went through and elected three people to form a CAB to begin meeting almost immediately. Completely ridiculous. I don't think that's going to pass the smell test for the CPB. With regard to meeting notices, we have a continuing problem, including on this call, Beth refuses to post the credentials for the development task force. In Houston, they're always playing games with the notices. And there's a card, at least in New York, that says, you know, call this phone number during business hours and send a request to meetings at WBAI.org. I assume the similar process occurs at the other stations. The email doesn't work. None of those email addresses have worked. I've tested them for years. I've complained about this before. That's a problem. With regard to job postings, I don't know if the CPB looks into that. We don't post jobs generally. Some high-profile national positions have been posted. But, for example, they recently made the interim CFO, the woman who was proposed to be the interim CFO replacing Anita Sims, suddenly she became the CFO. The interim has disappeared. No job posting, no advertising, no interviews. Communications policy says there's supposed to be LSB reports on the air. There's supposed to be reports from the CAB on the air. There's supposed to be reports from the committees of inclusion on the air. There's supposed to be reports from the ED on the air. None of that is happening. That's a problem. The ED cannot just go out and hire an election firm. She can, as I read the bylaws, she can certainly hire a national election supervisor, and the job ad must be posted. You can't just choose someone from wherever. And there's a whole process for the hiring of local election supervisors. There's no authority, as I read the bylaws, for her, even with the best of intentions and with my unhappiness with some of Renee's decisions, to simply hire an election firm. With regard to the Houston, if I could just finish up.
Just finish the sentence, please.
Thanks. With regard to the Houston unseating of a member who was duly seated at an LSB meeting when someone else resigned in two separate emails to the board, they unseated her replacement at a subsequent meeting. Now she's been reseated, you know, to replace someone else who has resigned and apparently intends to stay resigned. But that's a dirty piece of business that's not going to pass the smell test. And I'm going to make sure that everyone is told about it again.
Thank you.
May I be recognized, Mr. Chair?
Well, there's one more member of the public still has to hand up as Raymond, and then we'll come back to you, Myla. Raymond?
Information regarding public comment.
What's your question, Myla?
public comment not limited to 90 seconds per speaker? It seems that every time this particular caller comes on, she is given an excess, probably double the amount of time. And is
yeah.
All right, thank you, Myla. Raymond Goldstone is on the floor.
And we are out of time for this session of public comment.
With my appreciation, Mr. Chair, I yield my time.
Thank you. Okay, so we're going to go to a vote. I heard objections to the amendment to the amendment. We're going to go to a vote on that. Ralph, are you in a position to call the roll?
Chair, so a yes vote is
in. A yes vote would add the exception of allowing overflow calls to go to the call center.
Okay, secretary calls the roll. Grace Aaron.
Grace, you have to unmute.
Pass.
Christina Avalos.
Oh, yes.
Christina votes yes. Alan Beek.
Alan Beek votes yes.
Alan Beek is a yes. Fred Blair.
Abstain.
Fred abstains. Sandy Childs?
Yes.
Sandy votes yes. Marisol Cruz? Marisol Cruz?
She's gone, Ralph. She's gone.
Okay. Bella DeSoto?
No.
Bella votes no. Eric Jacobson?
Yes.
Eric votes yes. Avelia Jones?
Yes.
Avelia votes yes. Ali Lexa?
Yes.
Ali votes yes?
I said yes.
Okay, Ali is yes. Rob Macon?
Abstain.
Rob abstains. Michael Novick?
Come back to me.
Okay. Oye Oyeyepo. Oye
abstain.
Okay, Oye abstains. Myla Reason.
Myla Reason votes yes.
Myla votes yes. Lawrence Reyes.
I pass for now.
Lawrence passes. Ziri Rideau. She gone. Paul Roberson?
I vote yes.
Paul votes yes. Oscar Ulloa?
I vote yes.
Oscar votes yes. Polina Vasiliev?
Yes.
Polina votes yes. Beth Von Guten?
Yes.
Beth votes yes. Harvey Wasserman?
Yeah.
Harvey votes yes. Carlos Zavala?
Yes.
Okay. Marisol Cruz, is she still on the call?
No.
No?
No, she left.
Okay.
Grace, you have to go back to Grace. I have to go back to Grace and then me.
Grace voted yes.
I passed, but I do vote yes.
Okay.
Secretary, I'm ready to cast my vote. I vote yes.
Lawrence votes yes.
And the chair abstains.
The chair abstains.
Did we get Jose Benavides? Jose Benavides? Was he called?
Is he on
Jose hasn't been on the call that I'm aware of.
Mr. Chair, this is bad. So did I like to excuse Jose Benavides is traveling. He's out of state, and he forgot to send
out of order. This is out of order.
Absence notice.
This is out of order.
Yeah, please don't call out, Bella, and it's not the time. If we can retroactively excuse his absence at the next meeting. Please give us a tally.
Okay, one moment.
Retroactively excuse? Uh-uh. I never heard that one before.
Okay, the secretary records 15 yes votes, 1 no vote, and 4 abstentions.
Okay, so the amendment is embodied into the amendment, which would be to support the Spanish language programmers in requesting that no third party answer the calls, and they would field their own calls for the exception that if there's an overflow, to go to the call center. Is there any objection to that?
Bella objects.
Bella, it's your motion at this point.
Yes, but I never voted for that amendment to the amendment.
No, you voted against it, but it was the amendment. The amendment was carried.
Finally.
So now it becomes part of the main amendment, which is your amendment.
Yes. Okay. Thank
you. Okay. So there's no objection. We're going to incorporate that amendment into the governance committee motion.
Okay.
Which is that we support the Spanish programmers, Spanish language programmers, efforts to fundraise community events outside, and urge the the AGM to support this alliance promotion to raise funds by the Spanish language programmers to raise funds for the benefit of KPFK, and we support their request to answer their own calls when they're in the on-air fund drives, with the exception that overflow go to the call center. Is there any objection to the motion as a whole?
I object.
Yes.
This is my
okay. All right. We're just going to, at this point, we're going to go to a vote on it.
Mr. Chair, there has been no discussion.
There's no further discussion because we're at time for the item and we have to go to a vote unless you want to make a motion to extend debate, which is required for majority.
I move to postpone the vote until next meeting.
I second that motion.
I'm sorry, you were not recognized to speak. So,
Paulina, may I be recognized?
Yes.
I called the question.
Yeah, the question was already called. We were about to call the roll, and we're going to proceed to do so.
Mr. Chair, I object to this. There was no discussion whatsoever about the other part of this, which has to do with fundraising. Separate and apart from the call center and the people answering the calls, this is highly irregular. This is very problematic, and we should not be deciding on this until we have had a full airing about.
All right, thank you.
Off campus, this is outrageous.
Okay, it's outrageous, but it's time for the item, and we're voting on it.
Mr. Chair,
I object to the ruling of the chair that it's time to vote on it.
Can you call Mr. Tatum, Mr. Chair?
This is Grace. May I be recognized?
For what purpose, Grace?
To put forward a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chair, can we ask that it's time the parliamentarian
second
to chime in?
Motion on the floor to adjourn.
No.
Seconded.
I
asked her for what purpose she wanted to be recognized, and so she told the purpose, and she hasn't been recognized for that purpose yet. It's not on the floor yet. We're dealing with a point of order, and I'm going to ask the parliamentarian for some advice on how to rule on that point of order. We reached the time limit that was given Mr. Tatum on the agenda for this item. And so the discussion was ended, and I said we need to move to a vote on the item. There's an objection to that ruling, and I'm wondering if you think there's any basis to uphold that objection.
Mr. Chair, thank you for recognizing me. You're absolutely right. What's on the floor now is the point of order, which has been challenged. The point of order is that we're out of time, and we have to go right to the vote. So that is the ruling of the chair. It was appealed. So you go through the process as discussed the other day, the whole process where the chair makes his case at the beginning and the end of all other debates, and then the final vote at the end, no interruptions. Everything has to happen in that order. And if the ruling of the chair is upheld, we would go right to the vote. If the ruling of the chair is not upheld, then obviously the board has decided that we're going to use more time.
Thank you. So to explain my ruling, we had the entire motion was presented. We had an amendment. We had an amendment to the amendment. The body chose to spend the time of this item debating the amendment to the amendment. We carried that. We added it to the amendment. The amendment was carried and became part of the main motion, and we're at time for the whole motion. There was discussion earlier. We're finishing up this aspect, and please don't speak out. So the chair's ruling is that we would go to a vote when you're at time for everything, or the meeting or the motion. You go to a vote on what's on the floor. That's the parliamentary procedure as I understand it. So if you uphold the chair, which is going to require a vote, then we would go to a vote on the entire motion as amended regarding the Spanish language programming. So a yes vote would uphold the chair. We would go to that vote, and then probably the meeting would be over. If you overrule the chair, then there would probably have to be a motion to extend.
Mr. Chair, may I be recognized?
This is great. Bella.
No, I'm sorry. There's no further recognition at this point. That's the case for the chair. Is there someone who wants to speak?
I'm sorry. Great. I'd like to speak in opposition to the chair.
Thank you. Go ahead, Grace.
Okay. Even though I support the Spanish language block having fundraising events outside the station, I think that the motion has to be amended to so that Pacifica and KPFK is kept from having legal liability at those events. It's untenable. If something happens at an event, if somebody breaks their leg or is injured or anything, or there's some libelous comment, if this is a KPFK-sponsored event, there has to be insurance. There has to be assurance that there's no legal liability that transfers to KPFK or to Pacifica. This is not in the motion currently. More time is needed to work that out, or the two parts of the motion need to be separated and voted on separately. There's no time to do this. It's out of order because the motion, as it stands, could bring legal liability to KPFK and Pacifica, and therefore we violate our fiduciary responsibility to the foundation to approve this. It's out of order because it could bring legal liability to Pacifica and KPFK. It could be reworded to make sure that there would be no liability, but that has not been done yet.
I oppose this. Chair, may I speak in favor of your ruling?
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Sorry.
This is Myla. I believe that another member was speaking over Member Grace Aaron.
I asked Grace to finish up because she went on for quite a long period of time.
I understand. However, she was interrupted by another member nonetheless.
Okay. So thank you. Grace wants to finish. This is known as I could speak in favor of your ruling, Chair.
Because
I have factual information.
Looks like she's finished. Why don't you just go ahead, Lawrence?
Grace, are you finished? I don't want to disrespect you.
I'm finished.
Okay. Thank you. I have a different sense of what my colleague Grace Aaron, as when she was chair of the PNB, we had a rule that once the clock ran out, that we go immediately to a vote on everything that's on the floor. To kick this down the road, if the Spanish language programmers and the station engaged each other in a more wholesome relationship, we would not be at this iterated impasse, right? And if the station put all its resources behind just like they put all its resources behind any other community event, then we won't have this sense to fear liability. There's no liability, and I believe that the station should indemnify those programmers such as the Spanish Language Collective in supporting their community events and growing the community. So You are Sorry. Within your right, Chair, to go to a vote on everything that's on the floor because the clock has run out.
Okay, thanks. So, all right, the chair is going to summarize, and we're going to go to a vote because we're well past time. So the rationale here is if you voted up or down, if you think there are problems with the motion, you would vote it down, and something else can be introduced at a later time. But we don't have time for the further debate and the further amendments. We already took two amendments, and that's the limit to the number you can have on the floor at the same time. Nobody moved to amend it in any other way. I will point out that what we added is what we added it to something that was offered from the Governance Committee. The part that's being objected to now is the part that actually came from the Governance Committee.
Mr. Chair,
okay, so no, we're going to go to a vote.
I haven't had an opportunity to vote to speak about opposing your ruling, Mr. Chair.
I understand that.
Mr. Chair, can we call the vote?
Yes, I'm asking the secretary to call the roll on the appeal.
I am asking to state my case prior to the vote.
Chair, point of order, you took one for and one against, and you closed.
That's right. Okay, so we're voting on appealing the ruling of the chair. If you vote yes, you're upholding the chair, and we'll move to a vote on the motion as amended. If we vote no, then we're just out of time.
We are supposed to be, Mr. Chair, may I be recognized before you go there?
Go to the vote.
No, Bella. So, again, to clarify, if you vote yes, it upholds the ruling of the chair that we're moving to an immediate vote on the motion as a whole, and we'll take that vote. If you vote no, then the chair is overruled, and unless somebody wants to extend the entire meeting, we're going to end our business without having voted on the motion. Is that clear to everybody?
I motion to extend.
You can't make a motion. There's no motion to extend, and you can't speak out without being recognized, Bella. Stop.
May I ask to be recognized to
extend? No, you may not, because we're taking the vote on the ruling of the chair. The secretary is going to call the roll.
Okay, the secretary calls the roll. Grace Aaron?
No.
Christina Avalos?
No.
Alan Beek?
Left.
Moving on. Who's speaking?
Oh, this is Sandy. He announced he left a while back.
All right, thank you. Brett Blair?
No.
Brett Lutz, no. Sandy Charles?
No.
Bella DeSoto?
Yes.
Bella votes yes. Eric Jacobson?
No.
Eric votes no. Adelia Jones?
No.
Adelia votes no. Ali Lexa?
No.
Ali votes no. Rob Mankin?
Yeah.
Rob votes yes. Oye Yipo?
No.
Oye votes no. Myla Reason?
I vote no.
Myla votes no. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Paul Roberson?
Pass.
Paul is passing. Oscar Ulloa?
Yes.
Oscar is yes. Lena Vasiliev?
Yes.
Yes. Jeff Von Guten?
No.
Jeff votes no. Harvey Wasserman?
No.
Harvey votes no. Carlos Zavala?
No.
Carlos votes no. Circling back, Alan Beek?
Again, he left the meeting.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. Thanks. Paul Roberson?
I vote yes.
Ball votes yes. Michael Novick?
Yes.
All right, one moment. Secretary counts 7 yes votes, 12 no votes, no abstentions.
Okay, so the chair's ruling is successfully appealed. I believe that means we're out of time, unless somebody wants to extend the meeting.
Move to adjourn.
Mr. Chair, move to adjourn the meeting by five minutes.
Second.
Okay, I heard the motion to adjourn first from Ali Alexa.
Mr. Chair, this is Oscar Ulloa with a point of one of my only personal point of privilege. Thank you, friends who voted no. We're going to use this as a Spanish programming as one of the most strong show of forces of how against are you against the Spanish programming. You can move it whatever you want to do. But we're going to use this board
out of order, Chair.
To show you
Chair.
Exactly
okay,
what is the point and where you guys are.
Chair, we're happy to
I'm indignant. I'm indignant by the Latinos and the Latinas that did not
okay.
stand up for their people.
All right, thank you. All right. I heard a motion to adjourn. I don't think that's debatable. So is there a opposition to adjourning the meeting at this time?
Chair, object.
Okay. I'm sorry, Eric, were you objecting?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll take a vote on adjournment then. I want to remind people that if you do adjourn, that we have a meeting next Sunday. We voted to have a continuation meeting for the purpose of getting the balloting back. But it is a continuation of this meeting. Go ahead, Ralph.
On the motion to adjourn, the secretary is calling the roll. Grace Aaron?
Yes.
Christina Avalos?
Yes.
Jose, say Fred Blair?
Yes.
Sandy Charles?
Was that yes to adjourn?
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Bella
okay.
De Soto?
No.
Bella votes no. Eric Jacobson?
No.
Eric votes no. Avelia Jones?
Yes.
Avelia votes yes. Ali Lecter?
Yes.
Ali votes yes. Rob Minkin? Rob Minkin? Mr. Chair, there's a lot of noise in the room.
I think that's Oye. I'll mute him. Go ahead.
Rob Minkin? Michael Novick?
No.
Michael votes no. Oye, Oye Yippo?
Yes.
Oye votes yes. Myla Reason?
Yes.
Myla votes yes. Lawrence Reyes?
In the interest of civil rights and human rights, no.
Okay. Lawrence is a no. Paul Roberson? Paul Roberson, how do you vote? Okay, passing. Oscar Ulloa?
No.
Oscar votes no. Polina Vasiliev?
No.
It's a lot of Polina people.
Votes no. Quiet, please. Beth von Guten?
Yes.
Beth votes yes. Harvey Wasserman?
Yep.
Harvey votes yes. Carlos Zavala?
Yes to adjourn.
Carlos is a yes. Alan Beek is gone. Rob Macon? Rob Macon appears absent. Paul Roberson. Okay,
while you're telling that up, I just want to check because I see that Angel Jaramillo is on the call. Muted. While you're telling that up, I see that Angel Jaramillo is on the call. He was nominated for the GM Search Committee. And Angel, if you are you willing to serve on that? Do you accept the nomination?
Mr. Chair, I already told you he confirmed.
Excuse me, he's here on the call himself. Please be quiet, Bill, and let him speak for himself. We can't hear you, Angel.
You don't have to be so rude. You have no need to be rude. You are so rude, and you do not
Bella,
behave.
Stop.
Bella,
stop. You are the rudest one in this meeting.
Thank you, always.
The gaslighting and the dog whistling is outrageous.
Michael, I'm sorry to interrupt this. Sandy, I have to leave. My phone is dying right now.
Fine, go ahead. I'm sorry. Everybody, please be quiet. Angel, can you just thumbs up for a yes? Are you willing to accept it? Because we can't hear you. Okay, his thumb is up. I see it. He's accepting the nomination. Thank you. Do you have a tally?
The tally is 11 yes votes to adjourn, 6 no votes, and no abstentions.
Okay, the meeting is adjourned. We do have a continuation meeting next Sunday. Thank you. Yeah, Fred, can you close the stream?